Well, this morning we're going to go back into our teaching that we have been doing here. It's that death is not defeat for the saint. And it's one of the things that we're really dealing with in our society today and things that are going on. There's a lot of things that are just driven by fear. The fear, of dying is number one. As long as you're on this earth, you're dying. That's what's happening to you. Nobody's going to escape dying till Jesus comes back. It's going to continue. So the Bible teaches us of what to do because, see, it's a matter of getting ready to die. You know, I was in Bible school with Kenneth Hagin, you know, some of the classes we had with him. And one of the classes he did with us is on death and dying. He had done a class with us on this. And he said, you ministers, your job is to get people ready to die. I really blame it's the church's fault that we have what we have going on today. Because the church hasn't dealt with the issue. The church let this world system in, and the world system, whatever the world doesn't like to have talked about, the church don't preach it. They quit preaching it. You know, they don't like to hear about death and dying. So you don't preach it. They don't like, you know, can't preach about hell. No, because we don't like that. We don't want to hear those things. We don't hear about judgment. Judgment's not preached in the church. Why? Because the world don't like it. And it would cause criticism. If you do it, they're gonna marginalize you and criticize you and whatever else they want to do. That's going to happen. And the fear of that, the fear that has gotten into the church, that fear has caused ministers who yield to the demonic fear and the people who yield to that demonic fear. The devil gets to dominate and rule. That's one of the reasons sickness and disease is as much in the spirit-filled church who say they believe in healing as it is in the church world that doesn't believe in it. It's because fear reigns. Fear rules. I don't rule over me. I ain't going to let it. But see, the lack of teaching, there's things that we don't like here. There's too many things that make us uncomfortable in the Word, and they became uncomfortable to us because we listened to those messages with a spirit of fear. We don't listen to it with a spirit of faith. You know, the Word of God talks about, when the Word of God's talking about death and dying, if you're listening to it by faith, it'll give you hope. It won't steal from you. If it's stealing from you, there's something wrong with you, and there's something wrong with what you believe. And see, we don't want to do that. But by leaving these things out, people have no faith for much that's in the Bible. They don't have any faith anymore for it. And people want to reach the goals. You know, people want to reach the things that God says in the Word that we can have. But fear can't take you there. Fear can't take you to that place. You got to deal with those things. Those are things, you know, we have in the society, in the church, you know, really what we have done, you know, I've heard, you know, mock about, you know, and saying things, and I hear ministers, you know, will say things at times about, you know, because in our culture, you know, everybody gets a trophy. But that's what the church has become. Everybody gets a trophy. Well, everybody don't get a trophy. Everybody don't get healed. And it ain't because God didn't want to give them the trophy. They can't qualify for it. They can't qualify. We didn't understand there's qualifications for things. God hasn't changed. We've changed. But not like God wanted us to change. We've changed and become things that God never wanted us to be. And those things led us to bondage. We let the world lie to us in the church and bring us into bondage on the basis calling it freedom. And we bought the ticket that it was freedom. You know, I got freedom to say what I want in America. No, you don't. As a Christian, you don't. I don't care what the Constitution says. You don't have the right to say anything you want. The Bible controls your mouth. And if your mouth ain't under control of the Bible, the devil will run it. I don't have the freedom to say anything I want. Our forefathers that wrote the Constitution, they never believed what is believed today, that most Christians believe. They never believed it. And we have had a nation get in the condition it is because the church has been on the front of the parade leading it. Calling it freedom. You don't have free, you know, I have freedom not to sin. I don't have freedom to sin. Now, as a sinner, I had no freedom to not sin. That was my nature. No matter how I tried, we're going to turn over a new leaf. Well, that lasted about 15 minutes. I turned over so many new leaves, they ran out of leaves. And it was on the same thing over and over, and it never worked. You know, the New Year's would come and you make your New Year's resolution, and by January 3rd, you're the biggest liar on the block. You've did everything you said you weren't going to do. But see, you couldn't because you didn't have the nature to change. But Christianity today is the idea, you know, when ministers preach, and I've heard preachers do this all the time, you're just going to sin. Sin's going to rule over you. The Bible's a lie, see? Sin's going to rule over you. That's what's going to happen to you. And see, we have told the world sin's all right. Why? Because we told the Christian it was all right. See, you accept Jesus, just sin. You know, you're going to anyhow. You just can't help it. You know what? You're never going to get over being an idiot. We don't teach people they're born again, they have the nature of God and they're like God. No, we haven't preached that. Those days are gone. What we're trying to do is we're trying to reach a nation with their gospel. It's not our God. You know, I'm going to tell you, I'm talking right now by the Holy Ghost. This is what the Holy Ghost said. This is how God sees our nation. This is how He sees the church and what it's doing. Because the church is the preacher of what the nation wants to hear, not what God wants to say. We're trying to appease people. We're afraid people won't like us. Get over it. I don't care what you do, they're going to hate you till you follow their religion. If you think appeasing them, they will never get over it till they have all of you, every bit of you. They don't want it to you to denounce Jesus Christ. And the devil sends them to the churches that act like the devil to get them to be more devilish. Because when most preachers get a crowd, he's going to follow the crowd. Oh, we're doing wonderful. Now, not all, but I'll tell you, most of them, they'll follow the crowd. This is the seeker-friendly church. And the people ain't seeking for God. They're seeking for a God, but not the God. Because the God, they don't like. That's why they didn't go to those other churches. Those ones that preached the real God, they didn't go to them. They like the one that has the nice watered-down milk God, you know, that, hey, I can just keep my life the way it is. And I can sit, and you know what? I'm going to go to heaven deceived. Deceived. One of the things that Marietta Davis wrote a book, she was called, before the Civil War, she was called up into heaven, a young woman. And one of the things that she wrote, the majority of her book is about what happens to children when they die and go to heaven. And it's really encouraging about, you know, she talks about, you know, the glory of heaven and the angels and saints taking care of the kids up there and stuff and things that go on. She said a parent would never cry if they knew how their child was taken care of. So they said you never cry. They said, you know, they talked about being so glorious. But one of the things that she saw, and she said that what they showed her, it wasn't how really hell was, but it was a thing trying to to show what happens. And she said it was like they showed her what it was like a planet. And she said the planet, she said when you looked at it from a distance, it looked beautiful. And it looked, and as you got closer, you thought things were really beautiful. And she said, she sees the people and they're dressed. They were really, looked like they were dressed beautiful and everything. She said, but when you got there, she said, all this that you saw like water and that stuff in springs and falls, she said it was like a metallic substance. You couldn't drink it. And everything, nothing was like it appeared to be. And she said, they had this church, and the minister went up front in the church and stood there. And she said, all these people were in the congregation. And she said, they were there, and he started trying to preach. And he said, just cursing started coming out of his mouth. And she said, then all the people in the audience started cursing him and said, we're here because of you, what you've been preaching. We're here. And see, they had this place that look good, but they're in torment. See, people are on the way to hell. We live in a nation and we're so concerned about wealth. But you know, without God, our wealth is a curse. It is a curse. It's a curse. You know, many Christians are living a life, and I'm going to tell you what, they're never satisfied. You know, it's bad when, it's one thing, I have a dissatisfaction concerning myself of, I want to grow more. It's that thing that keeps driving you to improve and to do better. But most Christians live and they're just dissatisfied with everything. They can't ever attain. They can't ever attain. And they live and they sort of like spiritually, they're drinking the metallic water. They're walking and living and they're just, because, you know, they're accepting a lot of things that they hear that make them feel good. You know, on the outside, but then they gotta go and live, and when things get quiet, they hear their own spirit. And their own spirit ain't happy with the way things are. You know, you read Paul's letters to the church. Paul wrote nicer letters from the church than Christians that ain't ever been in prison in her life. was more on top of things than 99% of Christians are. And he was doing it from a prison. And we need to face something. There's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with us. We should never lose our joy. We should never lose our confidence concerning the Word. Even though we're going through tough stuff. You know, I've learned to straighten Ed out. I've learned to say, Ed, you need to shut up. You got it good. Don't you get whining about this going on, whatever's happening. You know, I'm tired of hearing Christians complaining about this year and what's going on with government. My God, let's get on top of it, folks. We ought to do shouting and some dancing and stuff. That's what God's waiting to hear. He's waiting to hear somebody who actually believes they have the victory instead of complaining. The church is a faithless bunch of people waiting for a victory that God's already given them. But they won't praise till they see it and then say we're walking by faith. That's a bunch of junk. Most people never walk by faith. They'll only shout when the check shows up. They don't shout, but said, praise God, I believe God's going to supply all my need. Then get up and go, woo, glory to God, He's sending a check. Glory, it's a coming. Hallelujah. No, we wait and get all excited when it shows up, which proves this. We weren't really in faith. God had by mercy helped us out, but we were never really in faith. If you can't shout when things are going bad, there's something wrong with you. See, you need to face that about yourself. Many times I'd have sat down, what's wrong with you, Ed? Why ain't you shouting? I mean, if you wait to dance to when everything's good, I'll guarantee this, you'll never dance. I'm going to tell you, at home many times I got up and danced around and shouting and nothing was working. But I learned, hallelujah, you got to get your body to shut up. And if you don't, say, body, you'll dance, you idiot. You will. God's good. You get over it. I'll tell you, after a while, your body will quit acting so dumb. It will. But it won't quit acting dumb till you make it do what's right. It'll just keep doing it every time. You got to learn to shout when everything don't look like it's worth the shouting for. Hallelujah. God's still God. He's on our side. Hallelujah. All that's free I'm talking to you about. I had no plans on this, but the Holy Ghost is talking. We need to get over that. We need to have the church world today wants a move of God. We got to quit crying like it ain't here and start shouting like it's here. Glory to God. God ain't holding out. We've held out. God has not held out. The reason things haven't happened, the church has held out. We keep waiting for God to do His part and we never do ours. We talk about faith, we know very little about what it's about. We don't shout for the victory till after the victory's already come. Don't take no faith to do that. Don't take no faith to shout and praise God, for healing. If you go out here and say, well, when it shows up, then I'm gonna tell everybody I'm healed. Praise God. I don't care what my body says today. By His stripes, I was healed. I was already healed. Glory to God. Thank God I'm healed. Anything comes my way, I'm healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't care if I have to limp when I dance when I'm doing it, but I'm going to shout and praise God that it's done. The church needs to go back to faith. Hallelujah. And there's not a lot of it. Especially among the Spirit-filled, I think they're the worst. My God, the Baptists are shot quicker than the Spirit-filled will today. You know, praise God. The devil is defeated. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. It ain't changed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'll quit meddling from there. And let's go over and look. I want to talk about this thing because we're talking about death. We're talking what the Bible says about it, not what men say about it, not what our emotions tell us. One of the things, see, you can get over and get in the Word of God, and the Word of God will get in you. When the problem comes, your emotions can move in line with the Word of God if you train it to. You train your emotions on the Word of God. See, is that one of the things that, see, most people don't. You know, you've heard me say this hundreds of times. You know, most people wait till the problem comes, and all of a sudden, then they want to get in the Word, and they want to get the victory. That's too late. It's too late when the problem comes. It's too late. You know? You go out here in a town and that stuff, and if they haven't built drainage systems and stuff that'll carry water away, you know, up in Pomara they did that. They never put in storm drains. You know, the city of Pomara never built a storm drain system. What they did is started running water into the holes where they had sinkholes, and it caused more sinkholes. You know that? That's what they did. That's why they never did. And you know what? Every time it rains, a heavy rain, Pomara floods. You know, you can drive down the main street in Pomara. Did you ever notice there's no drainage holes or anything down through there? And if you get a huge thunderstorm or that stuff, you know, you get your boat out on Main Street in Pomara and go down through. You drive down in the car and you just got water spray, you know, just all over the place. You know, so when the rain, you know what? When it's not raining, it's absolutely fine. You know that? But when it rains, no matter what you want to do about it, you can't do nothing about it. See, if you went out and started to try to build a drain system when that water's running, it would never work. It never worked to do it. And this is why we learn the Word of God, we develop in the Word of God, so when things happen and come, we're ready to deal with them. We're ready to do it. You know, back when Hurricane Katrina came on the coast down in Louisiana, really, the government wasn't ready for it. They had not done preparation like they should have. And I know some guys who, different people who worked for the government during that time and that stuff. One of the guys I know, he's worked for the forestry, and they, those guys, what they do when they're not doing the forest fire thing, that's what he specifically works in, forest fires, and he runs crews and they send them all over the United States, even sometimes to other countries. These guys put out forest fires. But he was talking about when Katrina came in, they moved all them down there to Katrina. And he said, we got down there, and he said, there was no leadership telling people what to do. And he said, nobody knew anything what to do. He said, we had supplies coming in, but nobody knew what to do. He said, there was electric companies coming in with all their equipment and that stuff, and nobody telling them what to do where they work. So he said, nobody. So, see, if you didn't have preparation beforehand, you weren't ready for it. It don't matter how much is there. You can't make it work. You didn't have the plan or the system to make it work. See, the Bible system of faith is designed that if you learn it and learn how to operate it, no matter when something comes, you can all automatically step into what you're going to do. That's what the book's about. The book isn't something you get out when life's breaking down. See, it's most people, they don't know anything about anything, and then they want to, now I want to get this stuff working. Let's get the book out and see about how I figure this thing out. See, you don't want to be doing that. But most people will do that. That's what they're going to do when things come. And so you want to know ahead of time. Because what you're going through is, number one, true faith will always want to maintain joy. You'll want to maintain joy. You can't keep your faith running with no joy. You know, your emotions might bother me. You can't lose contact with what's in the inside of you. You need that joy of the Lord. Like they say, well, the joy of the Lord's your strength. Well, when does it get there? When things are good or when things are bad? I don't care when things are good what it is. I want to know how it works when things are bad, because that's when you got to make things work. So, the joy of the Lord's your strength. Well, in the time of pressure, you need strength. So I don't want to bypass joy. I want to be able to maintain a joy I don't want to lose my confidence in God. You lose joy, you'll lose your confidence in God. You will. You'll be defeated, and this is what's going to happen. You're going to be depressed. You don't see people who say, well, they have depression, and they're just joyful and just laughing. I tell you what, they're just having a good time, ain't they? You know, most people are depressed. And most people that are depressed, they can't stand it. They don't like people that are laughing. A church I used to go to, one person got upset at me because I laughed too much. I laughed too much. And you know what, them? Well, they died early. And the dummies running around. See, they don't ever follow the word. They were a person who followed their emotions all the time. They followed their emotions. Well, I'm going to tell you what. There's enough going wrong in this world. You can follow. If your emotions, you follow them. You're going to be in trouble all the time. Because emotionally. We got to follow. We live in a world where our belief is in the unseen realm. This is why it's hard today to teach people, because the average Christian does not live in the unseen realm. They live in the seen realm. That's their major place. What they see around them going on. That's what bothers them the most. That's what motivates their life the most. It's not the Word of God. The Word of God's the unseen realm. We're believing in the victory, and you can't see it nowhere. There don't look like any victory anywhere. And we're believing for victory. See, I can't believe I have the victory and be sad, can I? No, sir. Nah. So when people walk around sad, but I'm going to tell you, don't tell them they're not believing the word, because they'll get so mad at you. Because they want, oh no, I'm all right. Okay. don't tell me I ain't right. No, don't say that. Don't say those things. You'll hurt my feelings more than they are. And I'm living by them. So. Hallelujah. You know, I've run into people already that when you found out all the things that were going on in life, you'd have never known it. They're living like God's taking care of everything. But in life, it don't look like anything's being taken care of it, but they're walking by faith. And they're not moved by what they see. They're not moved by what's going on. I've said this before, and I found out this to be true. I found out many times. I've had people come and ask me about problems in their life. They want counseling on it. When I hear their problem, I think, dear Lord, I got problems 10 times worse than you do, and you're acting like this little thing. I wish I only had that little thing you got. Dear God, I'd be standing on a chair shouting, screaming. Boy, my words, am I ever fortunate. I don't have... See, I've been places in this world. And see, I believe every American ought to take at least a couple of weeks and go to a third world country and live there to get your head on straight. Because you don't know what a problem is. You have no clue. If you've only ever been in America and listened to American news and all that kind of stuff, you ain't got a clue what life's like out here. We wouldn't have all these nincompoops voting for Biden and Harris if they really knew what the world was like. You go out here and see what goes on. It changed your life. I know the first time I went on a mission trip and I come back home and I thought, Ed, you just need to keep your blood. You got life so darn good. Hallelujah. Your life's wonderful. You ain't got no right complaining about life. And I don't. And we live in a nation of people complain every little thing, you know, every little pothole in the road they're mad about. Man, they ain't even got potholes because they don't have roads. They'd love to have some potholes. I'll take you over to India and show you potholes in the street. They're called quarries. I've been in places, you know, around things. We live such blessed lives. And you know what's sad about it? When I go to another country, I have enough money that I can do a lot of things they can't do. And it's still lousy. You know, buying the best there ain't even close to our worst a lot of times. They're best. But people don't realize that. And you start looking, it's like what we have. See, we got to get our perspective correct. You know, I've always often studied the Bible. The Lord had me like study the subject of Jeremiah. And I think, what right do I have to complain of what God tells me to do and people don't like? You know? See, we in America, American Christians, you know, we don't have a clue about what life is really like in this world. For somehow we've lost touch. From the standpoint of even the Bible, we've lost touch. We're looking at things from a perspective that, you know, in life, you know, we're going to get persecuted. Things are going to happen. You know, as a fact of us, we're going to die. But if you read the Bible, my God, I'm at the point now that I like understand the Word of God. It's like, dear Lord, I get to leave here? Praise God. Sounds good to me. Complain about all the problems, you get to leave and everybody's wimping and whining. It's like, I got to go to this perfect place. Isn't that awful? Pray for me, would you? Would you please pray for me? That's just terrible. I want you to go with me back. I want you to look at some things because we want to look at the scripture we were talking about, but we're looking over these things. We want to get in us, what the Bible says. Now, I've been basically ministering mostly from the standpoint that, you know, we're spirit beings. That's what we are. We're spirit beings. That's what we really are. Our body's not the real us. And in 2 Corinthians last week, we were in the thing, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. I'm going to read verse 16. We read these last week and talk about it. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Your outward man's dying. The outward man. See, there's this outward man, which is what? Your body. What is it doing? It's dying. Why are we hiding from death? You're dying. All these people that go all through these things are trying to live longer, trying to do all this stuff to live a longer life. I don't want to live a longer life and try. I don't want to, this death-doomed body, I don't want to go for another 100 years in this one. I'd like to get that new thing. See, you understand, this body you have, the Lord talked to me about this this week. Your body, your physical body is in line with the DNA of the seed that you were born with, and which is the physical seed. So your physical father, really, you, every one of us, we have this outward body. This outward body is dead in sin. That's why it's perishing. The outward man. We don't lose heart. The outward man is perishing. The inward man is being renewed day by day. What is the difference? Now, if we could say the spirit realm, we talked about this before. If we'd say it has DNA, our DNA, our inner man, we're born again. It's like God. The outward man is like our natural father from the standpoint. It takes after the natural DNA, which has been corrupted because of sin. So it's not eternal. It's perishing. But the inward man, he's after Father God. If we would call it DNA, whatever it is that we have, that we call that our spirit man, whatever it's made of, that inward man every day is being renewed. In other words, there's no perishing. It is an eternal being, but it has the life of God. It's renewed every day. The sinner spirit is not renewed every day. As a sinner, your spirit wasn't renewed day by day. The inner man, our spirit, why? Because we became new creations in Christ Jesus. Our inner man. This is why I hear people, you know, say to other Christians, say to people, well, I'm just like you are. No, you're not. If you're that dumb to believe that one, read the Bible sometime. You're not. I am not like everybody else. The real Ed Gibson's being renewed day by day, has the life of God in him. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Sinners, the Holy Spirit ain't living in them. The devil is their father. The only thing he can produce in them is death. In fact, we have very little in common. The only thing we have in common is a death-doomed body, and that's what everybody makes the big deal about. The church don't make big deal about the life. They just live in the death side. Let's get in the death side and stay there in the death side. Let's just follow the death side. You know, we work it. I mean, just think about this. And if you listen to what I'm teaching you, it'll help you in the areas of healing. If you start thinking of the real you inside of you has the nature and the life of God, and then the Holy Spirit lives in you, and Paul wrote and said that same Spirit that raises Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. To get healed is nothing. To stay sick, you got to work at it. You got to spend a lot of time working on unbelief to stay sick. You got to work hard to keep yourself over there in that unbelief place. Because inside of you, the real you on the inside of you has the life of God in it, has the Holy Ghost in it. It's being renewed day by day. And it's the house of this, living in this house, this body. And we found out that the Holy Ghost wants to quicken this thing. Is it hard for the Holy Ghost to quicken it? Is he, this is a tough job, man. I'm going to tell you what, this is hard to do. But see, it's because of the way we think about all this thing. Faith is a simple thing. You either believe it's so or not. You either believe you're healed or not. I've had people come to me and say, I don't know if I'm believing or not. I say, well, you couldn't be believing if you don't know. Dear Lord, why would you say something so stupid? I mean, how do we get so dumb that we wouldn't know if we were believing or not? You know, it's like the person, well, I didn't go to work today. What, I didn't think my car would start. Did you try it? Oh, no, I just thought it might not be work. That's most Christians. That's most Christians. It comes to healing and everything else. That's the way they are. And I'm talking about the Spirit-filled people. Well, maybe God has a reason. What, for healing you? That's the only reason I think just think about this. Jesus was raised from the dead so you could be healthy. Is that true or not? Is that true or not? By His stripes you were healed. It said, were healed. You were. Is that true? Is that really true or not? See, we listen too much. We pay attention to the seen realm. The Bible says I'm healed. Yeah, but you don't understand. I don't feel good. Oh, well, see, my feelings take the top of the list. You know, you always got to follow your feelings. I don't feel right about this. Oh, so now we know what's on top of the list. It couldn't be true because my feelings aren't going along with the Word. So the Word must have something wrong with it because my feelings aren't happy. Because my feelings don't like what it sees and my feelings don't... And we go on with it and on with that. Instead of using the life inside of us to bring our body into line, we let the body dominate and rule. That's what we decide we're going to do. You know, I found this, it is absolutely just as easy to live by the Word of God that it is to live by what you see. It's simple. It's not hard to do. People say, well, you know, you're living by what you don't see. Man, that's what makes it so wonderful. I don't have to look at what I see to determine whether I can have the Word of God. If you're going to live in the natural, you've got to look at everything you see to determine what you can get. I don't have to do none of that. I don't have to do any of that. I get to look and say, I can have this. Everything around says I can't. See, the Bible said I can. That's it. Now, was that hard or what? Oh, that's hard. Oh, man, that's hard to do. It's easy to look at everything going on around you. It's terrible because the things go around you change all the time. And just when you think you're doing good by looking what's around you, the sky falls. And Chicken Little's running around yelling and you're believing him. And you start running with him. But you know what? When you believe what the Bible says and they said the sky's going to fall, it don't matter what they say the sky's going to fall. I got it. It's mine. I believed I received it. The sky falling don't change it. See, this is the easy. Faith is the easy thing. It's your intellect is your problem. Your intellect is your problem. I have never come up in anything in the Word of God with dealing with the areas of faith. If I've had a problem, it always comes down to this, my intellect. I got to stop thinking about it and just believe what the Bible says. I got to stop the reasoning. See, we get over and say, well, I don't really understand. Well, how does God heal? I don't give a rip how he heals. All as I'm interested in is getting it. I'm not going to be a doctor, so I don't need to know that one, okay? I'm just going to, I want to just get it. That's all I do. I found out I didn't have to know how he does it. I don't have to know how it works. You know, the Bible says, did Jesus raise from the dead? The Bible says he's raised from the dead. What do you think he really was? I don't care. I don't reason it or think about it. It says he was raised from the dead for my justification. So I'm justified. That's it. He raised from the dead. I'm justified. You see, it makes life really easy. To me, I've found that this is the easy way to walk. Because I've learned this over time. My reasoning isn't very good. Most Christians, their great defeat is their thinking and reasoning about stuff, trying to figure things out when the Bible has already made clear what we're supposed to believe. He's made it clear. Is believing. Is Jesus who he was? Has he accomplished what he said he'd do? Can I really make the devil stop in his name? Can I really stop it? Can I cast him out? Whatever thing I desire when I pray, if I believe I receive it, I can have it. I wonder how true that is. Most preachers that are preach at, and most Christians, they'll read that scripture, and then in their own minds, they start putting, well, but now, you can't do this, or you can't. That is a direct statement. He didn't put any buts or ands or anything after. The only thing he wrote after that, if you have a problem with somebody, go straighten it out. That's all he tells you. That's all he said to do. Oh, no, we got about 40 other things we've lined on there that there's some reason God wants you sick, so he's trying to teach you something. And that same minister, if they went to school, that same minister today won't let his kid go to school. He's afraid he's going to catch a flu. Why? Don't we want to teach him something? My God, let's give him the flu. We ought to be handing that out like crazy and fulfill the prophecy of the day. It's one of the things we need to realize. People live a lie. They're saying things, but it isn't really what they believe. Inside of you, the outward man is perishing. The inward man, get in contact with the inward man. Get in contact with who you really are. Well, the Bible says you are. See, this is why people, I've learned a lot from the areas of learning to be led by the Spirit. I did from Kenneth Hagin's teaching, and I learned it by learning. One of the first things he taught is who I was, what I am, as my spirit man. Listening on the inside, my spirit man on the inside. This is the one that's being renewed day by day. This is the one where the Holy Spirit lives in. You listen in there. Faith is by operation out of there. Faith is not by operation out of your body. It's not operation out of your brain. It's out of your inner man. Should I tell you, just like me, I this all the time when I preach. I can preach, I can stand here and talk to you, and God can talk to me in my spirit, and I can hear him talking, saying things to me while I'm talking to you. Sometimes that's where he gets talking over to me and this, and sometimes I lose where I'm at because he'll get talking on the inside. But there's going on the inside of me. That's what God's communicating. See, when we're listening to teaching, preaching, you're supposed to be listening on the inside of you. That's where you're supposed to be. Most people will only hear with their ears. That's why they walk out the door. They can't remember a thing they said next week or what was going on because it was all outward. They haven't learned to listen by the inside. What's the inner man saying about what's said? Constantly I've heard. You know, Mike says often to me, I'll be preaching on something, and the Holy Ghost will reveal something to him, but it wasn't directly in line with what I was saying. But because it's something that the Holy Ghost is saying triggers something in his spirit where his spirit reveals something to him that he needed. See, you need to understand that. You don't need to just pick up the message that I'm preaching. You can get other revelation, and you should be. God wants to minister to you personally. And if you're not, you're missing it. You're just doing the thing from mental. That's not going to produce anything. That's not going to produce. It's not a mental thing. It's a spiritual thing. Why? It's because faith is words spoken from your spirit, not from your head. not from your head. It's like when I heard Kenneth Hagin talk about it, he said when he had his visions and when he is in the spirit and Jesus had appeared to him and he'd say about different things he would ask Jesus. He said, I never asked him things that I thought when I was over in the flesh walking around that I think I'd like to ask him. But when I get over in the spirit, I never ask him those things. There was always other things I asked him. And he said about this and I found out to be true. I know with getting over in the spirit and talking to the Lord about things that what happens? You're over in your spirit. You talk to God from things that are in your spirit, not from your head. The things you think are important in your mind, they aren't the things that you're going to hook up with over in the spirit realm. You're going to hook up. When you die and go to heaven, I hope you don't go with that dumb, make you live with that dumb head you got. It's about what's in your spirit. It's what's on the inside of you, what you got on the inside of you. Those are the, if I want to, see, healing's believed for what I believe in my heart and say with my mouth. It's not what I believe in my head. I can sit and be able to be a mental giant. There's people can sit down and can read something and read, quote it right out back with what they read. But you know, if that ain't in their heart, it don't mean a thing because they can't produce anything with it. It's your heart that produces words out of your heart, believed in your heart and not doubted. Those are the things that produce. That's why God wants to speak to your heart. We determine whether we just make it a mental thing or we make it a spiritual thing. We determine that. And we need to get that in us, that we're the ones that make the, are we letting it come into our heart? Are we sitting there thinking it all out in our head, trying to reason it all out in our heads? Let the Holy Ghost who is in you, the teacher, let Him work those things out for you in there. Let Him help you with those things. Quit using your brain trying to figure out the things of God. If that was the way it was done, then the scholars who went to Bible college somewhere, they would be the geniuses. Well, I'm going to tell you what, ministers sure ain't the geniuses. Dear God, there's so many dumb ones, it's incredible. God's the genius. Hallelujah. And you ain't very bright. You're in the same class I'm in. Hallelujah. But he said, the outward man is perishing. The inward man. Stay focused on the inside. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, in verse 2, it makes this statement because we want to maybe talk about this a little bit. He says, for in this we groan. He's talking about, here he goes on, he was talking about the light afflictions that we have. But he goes on, in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is in heaven. In other words, we on the inside of us, you need to come in contact with what really your inner man, what does he think is important? Do you know? See, I see this all the time where people come along and people talk about what's important to them. I mean, even for sometimes the ministers. And I realize they're talking from their head what is important. What's important right now? See, as you need to understand, there's loads of things in the Bible that are important, okay? You know, it's just like gifts of the Spirit manifestation or operation. The Bible says this, you know, that you're supposed to seek the best gift. Well, what is the best gift? What's the best gift? See, people go through all this thing and try to, well, what the best gift would be in this, and they get around to it. The best gift is this, the one that you need at the time you need that thing, whatever it is. If you're sick and you need healing, then healing would be the best gift, wouldn't it? You know, a prophecy probably ain't exactly what you were looking for at the time about what's going to happen 20 years down the road to you when you're thinking about, if I don't get healed, get this thing straightened out, I might not be here in 20 years. That wouldn't be the best gift. What is the best gift? It's what you need at the time. So you need to understand the importance. Do you really? I see Christians do this all the time. I see Christians with great needs in their life. And they're studying things and spending most of their time in their studying like about Bible prophecy. When they can't get their finances straightened out, they can't get family things straightened out. They don't even know. They aren't listening on the inside to know what they really need. They go to what they like. They go to what they enjoy doing. You don't do that. You listen to your inner man on the inside. This is one of the things the Holy Ghost showing you things to come. I don't know why I'm going off over in this. I wasn't even going to go this direction, but the Holy Ghost is talking. You need to understand how important this is because lots of times There are many Christians who die prematurely and stuff because God in the inside was trying to show them something to correct so they wouldn't have a problem that ended up killing them. But they didn't pay attention. All they did was followed what they like to do on the outside. This is where the Holy Ghost shows you things to come. This is where the Holy Ghost... I've had this happen with the Holy Ghost. You know, I had the Holy Ghost, like a thing where he kept telling... I just kept coming up in my spirit. When I get over and I get looking into my spirit, I had this thing about getting over about walking in love. Walking in love. Well, there didn't seem to be anything going wrong that I had to emphasize. But it just kept coming to me. So I just started taking scriptures and started reading them and started doing that. Boy, didn't a few months down the road, I was glad because I had wonderful opportunity to not walk in love. And see, people wonder why they're defeated. I'm just going to tell you this. God knows everything about the future and sees it, and He will always try to show you and warn you. And if you come up and everything's a surprise to you, it's because you don't listen to the inside. You got to learn to listen on the inside. There's where God lives. That's where. And the Holy Ghost, one of His jobs is to show you what's to come. He'll start showing you things, getting you ready for what's coming. He does that all the time. You know, the Lord showed me. I go back to 1980, the Lord was speaking to me about these days we're living in right now. He was showing me things. And here they are. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad I learned the things that I learned. A lot of people got off on tangents and different things and following different stuff. He told me, you stay close to what Brother Hagin's teaching. Stay close to it. Why? Because I'm going to tell you, you get down and the fight goes on, you better understand how to walk by faith and love or you're in trouble. And that's why most of the body of Christ is in big trouble. They don't know how to walk in faith and they don't walk in love. And you can't, I'm going to tell you, you can't win a battle. I don't care how much you know about the Bible. I don't care how many quotes and scriptures you can do and everything else. How many wonderful things. If you can't operate in the principle of faith under pressure. See, these are days of pressure going on. These are my best days. Because I know how to fight under pressure. And I'll tell you what, I've got the point. I almost sort of like it a bit. You know why? I do better under pressure. Because it demands more of me, and it keeps me in line. See, when things were real good, 99% of Spirit-filled people were a bunch of lazy, doing nothing. With their faith and everything, everything looked pretty good and pretty nice. We're doing good, the economy's nice. And you know what? The sinners felt the same thing. And now, man, the Christians are in the same boat the sinners are in. But see, your wonderful God, this wonderful God... And that inner man, the guy inside that you really are, has the life of God in it, has the Holy Ghost in it. And he's always doing, the Holy Spirit and your human spirit is always doing what the Word says. It's always, your spirit, you're never trying to get your spirit to follow God. You're always trying to get your flesh to sit down, shut up, read the book. You're always getting your flesh to try to stop and say, you know, I know I went through the last, 15 years of doing nothing but hearing Christians. Well, I'm just so busy. And I knew this is going to cost people terrible. They keep running around all the time. I'm just so busy. Well, you're going to have time to fail if you're so busy. You're going to have plenty of time to fail and get unbusy. You're going to have plenty of time. Don't worry. You have a lot of time. I got so tired of hearing it. I'd make remarks once in a while, but I'd see it make people unhappy. So I just learned this. Shut up. Let them go ahead and do their busy. Just go ahead. Let them fail. See, we can't change. I know what it is to change my time that I spend with God. I found the effect of that when I don't. I've learned those things. I've been around enough to know when you get too busy. And then I was like, oh my God, what was I thinking? I was busy. Because now busy's here. I'm busy trying to fix all this stuff by myself. Throwing little quotes out there like I'm a nice spiritual Christian believing God, knowing none of it's working. If you ain't ever been there, you might as well smile, have a little joy. You just got caught, you know, don't worry about it. You were there and you knew it. I've been there and I knew it. Oh, well, I'm just trusting the Lord. I'm thinking, I ain't trusting the Lord. I'm just, dear God. It's mercy that's keeping me alive. It's His goodness. He's good all the time, man. Wow. Oh. We've all been in those places. And we walked there. But you know what? A lot of people, now think about this. We have all this time to shut down everything going on, people not working. They still don't spend no more time with God than they did before. Why? Because they trained themselves not to. You can't let the flesh dominate you for long periods of time and you just jump right over and make your flesh fall in line. It don't happen. It don't. It took me years of working on things of faith to get over. And you can't let it go. You can't come back. Your flesh is a powerful thing when it's let to itself. It's a powerful thing and you need to understand that, what your flesh is like. I know what mine's like. It's a powerful thing. But you know what? If I stay over with the things of God and stay over close in those things, I'm not fighting the hard battles with those things. Then when the pressures come on in life, I'm not just trying to fight, you know, I can really deal with the fight instead of fighting with my flesh to try to deal with the fight. See, this is what most people are doing. They're in two fights because their flesh is working against them. Not just the devil, their own flesh is powerful. It is working against them. And you want to go, you don't want to go to that place where your flesh has been out of line and your flesh is doing all the slapping mostly to you and your flesh is giving you a hard time. You want to be able to go past that thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. But listen on the inside to that inner man. Hallelujah. In the 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter there, I use that second verse to talk about groaning. I want you to, let's do this. Let's go to, I'll do that, Lord. Let's go to Philippians, the 1st chapter, something else that Paul wrote here. Go to Philippians. Philippians, the 1st chapter. So I want you to see these scriptures. One thing is to sit down and read, you know, these scriptures. While you turn to Philippians, the 1st chapter, 19, I'm going to read the 7th and 8th verse from the 2nd Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I want you, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And we talked about this last week. He used that in reference and had to do with about dying. We walk by faith and not by sight. See, we as Christians should not look at death like the world looks at death. We should never look at it like they do. Because death to a Christian is never defeat. I don't care if a Christian messed up. Died prematurely. He never lost. They never lose. They don't lose. They end up in heaven. Boy, that's an awful thought, isn't it? That's just terrible. And I'll guarantee you, if this Tuesday they had an election in heaven and whether those people could just come back and live here again, I'll tell you, it'd be a ballot box full of no's. Your loved ones don't want to come back to see you at all. There's only one place they want to see you. In heaven. You know, just think about it. David had that revelation and the church don't even have that revelation today. David said because of his son who had died at birth and they asked him why he quit fasting and praying after the son died. And he said, well, why? He said, he's not going to come to me. I'm going to go to him. You know, the last thing is loved ones and I have that have perished and went on to be with Jesus. Their body perished. They're in heaven, man. I'll tell you what. I'm excited they're heaven. I'm going to see them. I'm going to see them one day. They ain't going to come see me. I'm going to see them. And they don't want to come see me. They want us to come and see them. Well, that only makes sense. You know, folks, get over it. We're living in a sewer. Why would we want somebody to come and join us in the sewer? I think about my mom and dad in heaven. I think, dear God. I mean, I almost think it'd be demonic to want them back. It's like, dear Lord! You know, I talked to my dad they said he was in an unconscious state, but I know he could hear what you're saying. And lots of times people do. People don't realize a person can be on what appears to be unconscious. But see, I need to understand your spirit's still conscious. And your spirit picks things up and hears things. Loads of times people in hospitals, when they think people are out, when they awaken them, they knew things that people were talking about in the room that they were in. That's why when you go around a person that's unconscious, you watch your big blab mouth. talking unbelief and going in and all your stuff. As my dad was there and I talked to him, well, I said the whole family was in the room, so, you know, you have all my brothers and sisters and some of them their wives, you know, we had a family of nine. Everybody's in the room, my mom's in the room, and, they were all talking and concerning, and the doctor had said what was going on, and he said my dad was going to probably take him, he was 90, and he said it'd probably take him, you know, a number of days, he said it could go to a week or two before he passed. Well, they're all talking, and they're talking in the natural about everything, and they're all standing there talking, and they're all talking about the natural stuff. And I said, Lord, I would just really like to talk to my dad alone. I said, I'd like to be able to speak to him alone. And I no sooner got that out, well, the most miraculous, it startled me. I believe in faith. But you ever use your faith on something that happened so quick, you were surprised, you know. Because, you know, he says, well, this perseverance, you know, we're going to persevere through this. And I just talking to the Lord myself, and I said, Lord, I wish everybody would leave. And see, I didn't want my mom there either. Because my mom, she'd talk about anything under the sun. And I didn't want anybody else. I didn't want anybody interrupting. Because we want to talk about heavenly things. We want to talk about what's on the inside, not what's on the outside. We're not going to talk about that. And all of a sudden, my one brother said, yeah, I got to go. I'll be back later. I'm going to go do this. And all of a sudden, everybody started telling them what they had to do and go. And there I am by myself standing in the room. Everybody left. I bet in 5 minutes, everybody's gone. Like somebody scared them out of the place or something. It was just the weirdest thing you ever see in your life. And I mean, I'm like, whoa, this is weird. So I was really glad. But I sat down and I talked to my dad about leaving. You see, I knew this, picked up in the spirit. He was concerned about mom. See, there's things that hold people. That's why, you know, get out of what you think and what you want. Listen to something else that might be important to somebody. See, people don't pay any attention. See, you can learn to pick things up. See, the Holy Ghost is in your spirit. Your spirit's in the spirit realm. It can pick things up from other people's spirits. And I knew it. And so I sit down and I talked to my dad. I told dad, don't be concerned about mom. She'll just be fine, you know. Everything, financially things were good and she's just all right. Everything's okay. And you know, she died a year later. She was 89 and died a year later. But she said, mom's fine. Dad, you don't have to be concerned about none of that. And I talked to him, my dad. See, my dad really thought all of his life that Jesus was going to return while he was here. He did. And he was always, from the time I was a little kid, I can remember my dad talking about that. He believed Jesus was going to come. And so I talked about him. That. I said, Dad, it's time to leave. I said, you've always wanted to be with Jesus. I said, go. I said, this is what you've always looked for to see in Jesus. And I just talked to him about Jesus and about heaven. And in 20 minutes, he started dying. So you got to learn, you can't minister to people out of your head. Your head's a worthless thing. Without God, your head's a worthless thing. It'll talk about everything that you think's important in the natural. He'll listen on the inside. See, I learned as a young pastor when I started off, and the Lord told me to get a person ready to leave. They were going to die. He said, they're not going to be healed. They're not in a position to be healed. But he said, you get them a good home going. So when I would talk to him, we'd talk about heaven and talk about leaving. I didn't do any lying, laying hands on, praying for healing. It wasn't going to happen. I see that all the time. People praying, trying to push their will off over in the person, and the person's not even there. The person's not in a position to be healed. They're not at a place to believe it. Let's talk about that. Holy Ghost wants it. Let's talk about the, you know, the best thing. See, we want to prepare people for spiritual things, not physical. We get over in the physical. What's the best for the person? See, this is true love. We don't know much about true love. Most of our love is selfish. Most of our love things are selfish. It's about us. Really, what suits us? You think about it. A Christian dies and goes to heaven. And we sit and mourn about it. Now think about it. That's all selfish. That's about us. We're looking at ourselves. They're in heaven going, woo, streets of gold, having a time. And we're down here whining. But why? Let's be honest. Our sorrow is about us. We all do that. There's many things we sorrow about. But it's us. So you can't let that dominate you. You have to pick things up in the spirit, know in your spirit what's going on. That's the important part. It's about us. It's about us. Okay, how can I be a benefit rather than a detriment when people are dying? I say this. Most Christian people are detriments. They're not an aid in dealing with a person when it comes to death. You want to learn to be an aid to them. Number one, you want to pick up this. Whether the person's going to live or die, you can't force your faith just over on people. And if you can, you need to know God's going to have to show you. Now, I've had already where the gift of faith came in, and I've had people get healed that way that were dying. Sometimes I've found out why it would work, and sometimes the Lord hasn't said anything, so you can't, I don't know why it worked. Because with me, I just turn on that gift every time, you know, and you could just do it, but it doesn't work that way. What I have found out, that sometimes the reason a person dies is because Christians are praying in their unbelief. And God is waiting for somebody to stop doing that so he can work and move and bring something to pass. I had a woman who got healed of cancer. I didn't know who even she was. Her daughter worked at Reese's with me. And she's one day, I knew her mom had cancer. And one day she came. I was in the curing room of at Kit Kat Kitchen at Reese's, and I was by myself in there moving skids around and of wafers, and she come walking through, and you could tell she had been crying, and I stopped her and asked her what was going on, and she said it was on a Thursday, and said they just took her to the hospital. Her cancer has gotten really bad. They took her to the hospital. They said she won't live through the weekend. So she said, would you pray? Well, I know from a praying standpoint, you don't just up and jump up. To me, to pray, I would stop and ask the Lord, what's going on? What's to do? You know, we jump over and we pray and pray, oh, God, heal this person. But if the Spirit, you need to listen on the inside. See, we just jump. And we call faith, many times we say was never spoken in faith to begin with because we didn't know what God was going to do anyhow. This is just us jumping over there. And I've learned this over time, is listening on the inside. And I just said to the Lord about this woman. And I just said this to the Lord. I said, because I had asked her daughter how old she was. She was 60 years old. And I said, God, I said, it's 60 years old. And I said, this lady leaving the earth. I said, man, this is way too young. Her leaving the earth and their grandkids and everything. And I said, this is just way too young. So I'm just talking to the Lord about, you know, what was on the inside of me is this ain't right, you know. But sometimes the things that ain't right, you ain't ever going to change it. You need to understand that. But I was talking to the Lord about it. And just as clear, I'm by myself. I'm in the curing room. I am not in my closet praying at home and fasting. And I'm in the curing room moving skids. And the Holy Ghost says, rebuke death over her and command her to live and she'll live. And then this anointing dropped on me. And when I said it, I knew this woman's healed. I just knew it. Well, it was a gift of faith in operation. Now, I just can't do that. I mean, you can't just do that for a person. I've watched people do that, and then we had funerals. You know, it's not going to happen just because you say it. See, we talk about being led by the Spirit. It's like the Lord said to me when I first got born again. I was only born again for a month. Said to me, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. And then 20 years later, he spoke to me and said, most of my people have amounted to nothing. See, we become legalists. We're like the Pharisees. We take the book and we make the book and we make it into all these nice little things and this, just do this and just do it. Listen to what's on the inside to what God wants to do with the book. Listen on the inside to what he's saying. If he don't say anything, then just follow what the book says, just like you were looking at it. But if he speaks, you always want to look to the inside as number one. God, I'm a worker together with him. He don't work by himself and neither do I. See, most people, they want God to do it without them or they do it without God. That ain't how it works. Number one, if he ain't in it, there's a good chance Ed ain't going to be doing too much. I got to get him involved. He's the healer. I never healed a person. I've never done it. But I've laid hand on the sick according to the word and they've gotten healed. He heals them. He heals people. But anyhow, it came back the next week. I see her the following week and probably about midweek I saw her and I asked her about her mom. I said, mom, my mom said, the doctors were flabbergasted. She just, the cancer went into remission. Said, she's absolutely fine. Said, she's at home. She's at home doing great. So she was startled what went on. Well, I asked the Lord this because there's things I want to find out. Sometimes he tells you and sometimes he don't. The Bible says this, that the secret things belong to the Lord. And there's some things that are secret between God and the person, and he ain't going to tell you, and you need to not be nosing in and asking. If it's a secret thing belong to the Lord, just let it alone. Don't go, you know, because some things God ain't going to tell you. Why? Sometimes. Say, why doesn't he? Well, it must mean not none of my business, so. But anyhow, and this, and I asked the Lord, I said, man, I said, you know, I'd just like to be able to throw the switch and make that one work, you know, all the time. You know, that would really be nice, but why could I do that for her? Why did that gift go into operation? I wanted to know why that gift went into operation for her. Yet I knew other people that I was around, people who died. I wanted to know why, you know. Because I knew this, I didn't make that happen. I knew that gift came on me and that took place. I knew I couldn't just run around and start doing that now. See, some people do that. They'll do that, have that happen, and everybody's brother, they run around and do that too. And it don't work. I knew the anointing come on me and that thing worked. And the Lord didn't say anything to me then. And he could have, but what happened was a couple months later, this girl, her mother completely got well. Completely, you know, in fact, they found later on, you know, that she was clear of cancer and everything. And God did that. That was really neat. But I didn't do it. But anyhow, you know what? Other than me telling the testimony, I never told anybody. Nobody ever knows what happened there other than years later I've told the testimony of it. I didn't go around. I've had that had numbers time. There's numbers of people over the years that got healed. And I've never said a word. They don't know nothing about it, and people don't know a thing about it. It happened. I used to 321 Canal Street, up in the bedroom in the front of that place. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people got delivered while I was up there praying. A lot of things happened. People got delivered because praying, God would do things. People would be dying, turn around and live. I never say a word. People say, well, they don't know why, but I never said anything to people. I never told people why. Because number one, you just don't go around blowing your own horn. It wasn't me. Anyhow, you know, God don't hook you up in with it. It's just, you know, it's him. Well, in her circumstance, she was talking to some of the other ladies explaining what happened because somebody must have asked her about her mom and about what is it, you know, her mom getting healed. And so I walked up and she was talking and I just stood there and listened. And she said this. She said, we had been praying for my mom and praying for my mom and nothing's changing, nothing's happening. And this was very interesting because a day or so right before she went into the hospital, this is what happens. And I want you to listen to this closely. It'll help you about your praying to pay attention, to not just get over in a prayer thing. You can get over and you're praying out of your emotions and not out of your heart. And you can keep a person from getting healed. You need to understand that. Now, because sometimes we do things. We get over and we're emotionally trying to do what it requires spiritually to do. And anyhow, she said, we could see that this thing, what we were doing, she said, my brothers and sisters and us were doing, praying for her. It wasn't working. The things she, I thought, my God, this wasn't a spirit-filled woman. And she finally figured out, said, you can't get the spirit-filled people to ever believe it ain't working. They don't ever, when it ain't working, you have to have enough sense to stop and say, you know, something, you ought to know in your spirit whether something's working or not. You don't get over and get so emotionally involved into something. You learn to listen to your heart. I've had many times I go along and I think, man, I'm doing the right thing, but somehow on the inside I know things ain't hooking. What is going on? What's happening? And you wonder about those things. But anyhow, she said, we got together and we decided, this thing ain't working. And they did this, you know, we're going to stop doing what we're doing and we're just going to turn it over to the Lord. And when she said that, the Lord said, all of a sudden inside of me, the Lord said, when they turned that over to me, I could get someone that I could use to take care of that. I am convinced of this. Many people die because people don't listen in their spirits. If Christians would take the time to, when you're in a tough situation, Quit trying to figure things out. Get yourself over where you're listening on the inside. If there's an answer to the situation, it is in you. It is not outside you. It is in you. What to do? Sometimes I've had the Holy Ghost tell me I wasn't supposed to do a thing. Well, most Christians, they get so emotionally involved, they can't. They got to keep their hands, foot, and everything else in it as much as they can. You got to learn. Because sometimes you think, well, I'm not supposed to get involved. Well, I could do this or that. Well, maybe God's using somebody else who wants you to go shut up and sit down. You need to learn to listen on the inside. Listen to God. He knows what He's doing. Sometimes He told me, you can't do a thing about this. Nobody can. I've learned over the years. I have been with people. I've been with spirit-filled people sitting by their bedside and they're dying. And I know this. I have the exact answer to what they need. But I know this. They're never going to listen to it. They're stuck on a direction. Because I've known one person, I was sitting beside a woman's bed. She's dying of cancer. Listening to her talk and realizing she thinks she's in faith for healing. In her mind, she is. But she wasn't in faith for healing at all. I knew it. She's talking about for the natural. Well, God will heal me because my family needs me. What scripture was that at, that you get healed because your family needs you? If that was a scriptural basis, then everybody that their family needed them would get healed, wouldn't they? See, people get in their mind. God's going to... No, it's about the Word. And she said, well, I tell you what, yeah, I believe God, I'm going to live and not... She'd say, I'm going to live and not die. But then I saw this. Her and her husband started reaching out for every kind of treatment you could think of and took her out to California. See, they believe she's healed, but they're taking her to California for oxygen treatments. And nothing, it didn't work at all, these certain treatments. They bought them out. See, God wouldn't run you all over, but He wasn't in that. He wasn't doing it. She's saying one thing out of her mouth. I knew it, but it wasn't what she was believing. I don't know if she was in contact with her spirit or not. She is saying words out of her mouth. And I know this the whole time. She's going to die. And this is a sad thing because I can't talk to her about faith. I know it. I tried to say a few things and just got shut off. So you got to leave it alone. And I can't even minister to her for a good home going. What a blessing that would have been to the family. But you can't. Because she dies, keep telling them, God's going to heal her because her family needs her. But she dies. And the family, which ain't real godly, they're just emotionally, they're not prepared. They don't know the goodness of God, and they set them over. See, this is why people got to listen to their spirits, and they don't. And the reason they don't is because they're too busy in life never learning how important it is to be able to follow God. And they're just important in life, and a lot of stuff they're believing for has more to do with the natural than it does spiritual. And they never really develop on the inside to hear. And we need to know the difference. I've seen this in meetings and all, like back in the 80s and that stuff and the early 90s, you guys, the meetings, you go to the big meetings and all that stuff and you go 1 year and you come back, we always run into a bunch of flaky people in those meetings. There's always the charismatics, the fruits, nuts, and flakes, Those are the granola Christians. And, every group got them. And you'd always have them. But it was always amazing. You'd sit there in a meeting and wonderful things are taught and wonderful things are said to help. But you come back next year to the meetings and they have not changed at all, have they? They're just the same nut, fruit, and flake that they were the year before. Yet all the right things are said. What's the difference? There are people who go to those meetings who listen from their heart, and there's people who are just in it for their head. And they hear all those things, but what they'll do is they'll go out. Most of what they will do is out of their emotions and out of the mental side of them, and they never really run. And they just stay a flake. If we're going to amount to anything as a Christian, it's going to be led by the Spirit of God. This wonderful book that we have is a worthless writing without the Holy Ghost. It is a worthless piece. It means nothing. This thing was written to covenant people. It wasn't written to sinners. It's for covenant people. And God is revealing it to covenant people. We're in such a wonderful, glorious position that God put the Holy Ghost in us. The covenant lives in us, people. It is inside of us. The teacher of the covenant, the one that made it. We have a covenant that was made for us. God the Father and God the Son got together and made a covenant, and we get all the benefit for it. God made a covenant with God and let us in on it by faith. Now, you know it's got to be a great covenant. Any knucklehead that says, well, God don't always want to heal, and God, you know they're an idiot. Would God make a covenant with himself like that? It's because there is so little known about God, and I feel bad for people because I sit sometimes and think about how much I don't know, and I look around and I said, my God, there's so many of them dumber than me. We're in trouble. Dear Lord, we're in trouble. They're dumber than I am. You know, today, and I'm just going to, most of the books and stuff that if I'll read and go in through, I read books from years past. Because I tell you what, I cannot stand the candy books that are written today. They ain't nothing but spiritual candy. I sit down to read them, I get halfway through them, and I say, man, this ain't even good toilet paper. It's all written for babies. See, man, I need something. I need a steak to eat. Let's get over. I'll read some of the sermons from Smith Wigglesworth, and then I'll repent. Oh my God, I got to change what I do. But I want something that's going to change me. It speaks to the inner man. That's where we got to live, out of this on the inside. That inner man has all the real you has the life of God. The real you. That's the real you. Oh, if I pray anything for you guys, that you just come in line with that to understand who you really are. Who you really are. It is so glorious, it's mind-blowing. Don't live on the level that others do. Number one, I don't care if you don't hear anything from God and you need to. Never say, God, don't talk to me. I refuse. In my Christian life, I never talk that stuff. God's talking, sometimes I ain't hearing. But God's revealing the Holy Ghost on me, inside of me. Jesus Christ sent him to me to teach me. So he must be teaching me. If I'm not hearing, it's not his fault. I refuse to say, he don't talk to me. I say, I must not be listening, but he's a talking. Hallelujah. And I hear him. I know his voice. My shepherd, I know the voice of my shepherd. Jesus said I do. I ain't lying. You're a liar. When you say, ain't talking to you, I don't know. I don't know what he's saying. The Bible said we know his voice. I will not say anything else. You know, I might say Ed's a knucklehead, but I ain't going to lie about Jesus. I might do dumb. He ain't ever done dumb. And everything he said in the book he'd do, he's doing it. And if I ain't got the benefit of it, it's my fault. It's never his. It's never his. It's mine. And when I started taking the blame, started working. Too much of the church lies on God all the time and expects God to move. No, he's speaking. He's a teacher. People say, hey, I've just been reading the Bible and I just don't seem to anything come. I don't seem to get anything. Well, just keep saying it. You won't. That's your faith talking. Holy Ghost is silent in me, you know. He don't say anything. He ain't the teacher. Jesus done lied about him. You know that? He never shows me anything to come. How come I don't ever see anything? Because you're full of unbelief. I'd never say such a thing. He always shows me things to come. Because that's all I've ever said about him. He'll show me things to come. You don't need to be a prophet to see the future. You need to get in faith. He's in there for your benefit of your future. You can't fulfill God's will in your life without being able to see ahead. You can't do it. I'm not a day-to-day Christian. They say, well, I'm just living and just from day to day. Well, you'll be pretty dumb and mess up and the devil eats your lunch often. Jesus Christ didn't come in the earth and had no plan. Didn't know it was going to happen, did he? How can we be successful? if he needed to know. See, you need to see ahead. You need to know what's down the road. You need to start to get in faith. See, the whole wonderful thing about teaching, even from Scripture, you know, if that word's alive, it has to. Faith is about the future. My faith is about my future. Faith isn't about today. My faith is about what I believe I receive. That's a step out. That's not back here. This is most Christians. They call what they're doing in faith, and they ain't going ahead at all. They're staying here, and every problem they got stays here with them. Faith is about my future. I'm speaking by faith. See, you learn the need to talk out there. That's what the Lord taught me about finances back in 2014. He commended me. He said, when you and Wanda need money, he said, you know how to get it. You know how to make a confession. And you know how to bring the money in. You know how to do that. He said, that's good. He commended us on it. But he said, it ain't my best. And I said, well, what do you mean? That's basically what we were taught to do. You know, you step out, you do it. He said, that's not my best. He said, this is what I want you to do. He said, you and Wanda sit down every year and you go over your finances and decide about your giving for the next year. And he said, you change things around. But he said, you always look where you can increase something and do it. He said, you always do that. He said, you sit down. He said, you guys do really good with that. And he said, you don't receive at the level that you give. See, you need to understand this. Your giving ain't the only thing tied into what you receive. See, and this is what he told me. He's told me this. He's really upset a lot of preachers because all they do is preach that, you know, your receiving is all tied to your giving. It's not all tied. I mean, that's part of it. It's a part of it as you're giving. Because, hey, we're big givers. And he said, you don't receive at the level you give. Well, then who's holding it back? God? No. No. So he told me, he said, this is what you got about receiving. He said, just like you plan for the future in your giving, he said, you need to start planning for your future in your receiving. And I said, oh boy, well, how do I do that? And he told me, this is what he told me to do at the time to do. This is what he did. He started off and he said to me, I want you to believe for $5,000. He said, when that comes in, I want you to double it. Believe for $10,000. When the $10,000 comes in, I want you to double it. Believe for $20,000. I want you believing for money down the road. So as you walk along, money's coming to you. Your faith is out there. Not when you need it. He said, you won't be trying all the time to try to at the time. Money will start coming to you. Well, wonder if this thing works. We started doing this. You know, and started walking in that, started doing it. We started down through it. So, you know, it's to me when he first said $5,000, that wasn't a big deal. We had done that kind of thing before. And we did. And so then we had $5,000 come in. And then we believed for $10,000. And probably after that was maybe like, I don't know, it was even a month went past. We had $13,000 something came to us. And then we went on down the road. Well, anyhow, we went on a little ways with this thing and believe in money comes in. And then, you know, and the Lord's, number one, if the Lord tells you to do something, you prove it out. Does it work? I didn't run around telling people that I found out that, you know, it's working what to do. So, but you need to understand this. There was qualifications for this. You can't be nickel and dime and given and do this kind of thing. You're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to meet some qualifications on this, you know, sometimes people don't give enough. They don't give like they should. But anyhow, so we're believing along. And so I forget what it was. It was like, you know, I don't know if it was $40,000 or something that we're believing for. And some time went past. And I don't think about it. I just, you know, put my faith out there. And you just walk along. And if it comes to my mind, I just thank God that I have that much money. I just thank God, praise God. That money's mine. The angels are out there bringing it into me. Glory to God. You know, I don't pray about it anymore. I don't make any prayers or anything like that. I just thank God it's working. And I was down at Randall Greer Ministries down in Gatlinburg in March. And I had started that in 2014. And so this was, yeah, let's see. Yes, 2014. So in 2015 in March, and I was down there, and a guy gave me the call that, you know, I hadn't talked to him for years. And he says to me, he said, in the fold, and I answered, you know, he says, there's an attorney going to give you a call. There's a guy going to give you a call, and he's going to tell you about some money being given to you. And I said, oh, okay. And you know, I didn't know this guy was going on. He said, I'm only letting you know. I don't want you to know that this isn't something fake happening. He said, the guy's going to talk to you about. He said, it's probably somewhere at least around $150,000. I thought, wow, 150, but boy, that's a lot over what we did. Anyhow, what we found out then, it was $186,000, was given to us. Well, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, that we believe this amount, that's a pretty big jump you made there. He said, we ain't got all this time to be wasting around doing this. Now, I want you to get a hold of this because, see, the way people view in giving and God bringing them money, see, most people cut God short. This is why we think on such a little scale to what he does. And we're the limiters. See, I had limited what could come into me. I had limited. Now, at the time, Wanda and I didn't need any money. Things were doing good, and yet the money's coming in. See, before, when we'd want it, you know, we'd believe God and, you know, whatever it is, special thing was coming up. And what has happened, you know, is with us is money comes into us. Money just comes to us. But you set yourself, now I want to tell you this isn't for everybody to do. Number one, you got to meet the qualifications. Are you given enough to do this? How do you view giving? See, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. If you ain't excited on the giving side, forget playing the game on the other side. You see, there's two things that God, you know, God commended Cornelius. Remember Cornelius in the book of Acts? He was a Roman centurion, you know, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost, but an angel appeared to him, and God commended him on two things, on his alms, on which doing with his giving, and commended him on his prayers. Those are two things that God commended me over the last few years. Number one, he commended me on my giving, and then I had a prophecy last August where God commended me on my giving that came to me in August, last August, in Randall Greer's meeting. Randall Greer laid hands on me. He knew nothing about what was going on. And I'd been spending time in prayer about the move of God this last days. And I had been on it and on it and on it praying 6-8 hours a day, just going on praying about this thing, asking God what to do, taking God prophecies before God. And the Lord spoke and said through him, he said in three days, I was going to start to receive everything that I prayed for. And he said, it don't all come at once. See, we're moving into this. The things some of the people are saying, we're not going to have a move of God. I'm going to tell you, going to have one. God's the biggest liar was in the face of the earth. We're having a move of God. And I know I'm going to be smack dab in the middle of the thing. I'm going to be smack dab walking in the middle of it. He said, I'd have everything I prayed for. See, he commended me. In other words, you prayed. You're getting it. You see, there's certain things that are important in doing and commending. See, God commended me on the same things he commended Cornelius about. They were the first Gentiles to get filled with the Holy Ghost. See, there's certain things, and you need... See, this is why. Find out what God's interested in and give up what you're interested in. Find out what he is. Listen on the inside. See, when I look at these things, I've always, you know, concerning finances and giving. I've always loved to give. You know, what the Bible says about it. I always feel the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. Yet, most of the teaching is about receiving. God told me about how to receive, and I've never heard anybody preach it the way that it was preached to me, that God preached to me. In fact, it was over about a 2-month time period that God would speak to me and spoke to me about things. And I'll tell you what, he sure ain't happy with a lot of ministers about how they're fleecing the flock. He said they've learned how to manipulate money out of people and get money to give. Keep telling people to give, but the people ain't getting nothing back for it because they ain't telling them. He said it's worked well for them, but it doesn't work well for the people. Because all they do is they talk about from the you given side. God wants you to know how to receive from him. It is not. God would be selfish and self-centered if it's always about the given. He's not. That's men that do that. Well, you just haven't get enough. This, the Lord spoke to me and said this to me one day, started talking to me about this money thing, and he said to me, he said, you know, his ministers say, you know, if somebody given, well, you didn't, a person goes to them and says, well, I don't understand, I've been given, but, you know, there's nothing coming in, and they'll say, well, you just haven't given enough. You just need to give more. You just need, and he said, they tell people that all the time, and he said, that ain't the problem at all, but he said, it works for them to get more money. And he said, they've learned how to use this stuff and get money out of people. And he said, I'm going to deal with them. These guys are going to have to face Jesus one day, and it ain't going to be pretty. It's just like he said to me. He said, my problem wasn't the areas of giving. I wasn't receiving at the level that I gave. I needed to have some other information. See, we just throw this thing at you and giving them. And he asked me this question. The Lord said this to me. He said, if you were believing for $1 million, how much would you have to give to get $1 million? There must be some kind of mark out there that you would have to reach to give. And I said to him, I don't know. And he said he didn't know either. Because he said, if you have a certain mark you have to reach to give, he said, you're going to have to know exactly what the mark is to have faith to give, to get your million. Because it isn't. It doesn't go that way. I have to reach a certain amount of giving. You receive from God by faith. You see, I've learned this over the years about the areas of giving. I listen to God about giving. I don't sit down and think about no mark to reach in my giving to reach a certain amount. I can stop and if I could stop and believe God for $10 million today to give, that doesn't mean I have to get much more money. I can believe I can receive that right now. If my faith can't receive that right now, then it don't work anyhow. If I have to come to a place I had to give so much money so I could believe for $10 million, then I'd have to know what that mark is so I could believe for that I'd get that. But it's not like that. That ain't how it works. Now, what I do when I give, I just listen to God. If He has certain things for me, He wants me to give besides what other things I give. I go along, one, and I do that all the time. All we do is we just listen on the inside of us about our giving. We just listen on the inside about God's prompting us to give. I give. I don't go through this thing as ministers saying and all this things to give. It's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. Ain't even true. They're destroying people's faith. It's like you got to reach a certain place of giving, then God. That ain't how it works. I remember sitting in a minister's meeting, probably about 500 ministers in a meeting. And the speaker got up and he said, I don't receive from God, he said, by my giving. I receive by my faith. He said, I'm a giver, but I don't get from God. He said, I get from God because I know how to use my faith to give. I know how to use it. Well, see, he's a giver. I know the man's a giver. But see, we took all the things of giving first, and that has worked wonderful for the ministers to take offerings. To make you think, you just got to give more. You just got to give more. You better listen to your spirit and not just listen to what a guy says. Listen in your heart to know where you're at. Not everybody's at the same spot. There's like people I know. You know, not everybody can jump over and do what God talked to me about. You're going to have to come to a certain point to get there. But it doesn't matter. Some people are beyond me on that. But you have to know what you can do inside, where you can believe from. You know, there's one guy, me, he can believe for $1,000. Another guy, he can believe for $200 million. There's different. I don't care what that, until he builds his spirit to the place where he can believe for that, God can't bring it to pass for him. Your faith is what brings it in. No matter how much money you gave. If today you could put $2 million in the offering, but you have $1,000 faith, you can't believe God for no more money just because you put a couple million in. You're going to receive by your faith, not by, your giving ain't the whole thing in this. You need to understand that. Quit listening to these preachers that tell you that because they tell you that while they're taking an offering. You need to put more money in if you want to get that. No, your faith. You're going to receive on your level of faith. That's where you're going to receive. And they're not telling people that. You know what? I put more money in than I could receive. And you know what? I'd never change a thing on it. Because I wasn't doing it just to get money. I was following my heart. I was following what I love to do. Love to give. following what I love to do. There's been so many wrong motives and so many wrong motives in taking offerings, and there's been so much, it is not right, and it don't bless the people, and the people end up feeling discouraged. They're trying to make things work and that stuff. Things, they're following what ministers are saying, and it ain't working. Well, I want to tell you what, I'm following the Holy Ghost and it's working. And so, we're not wringing our hands. We should never be in that position. You and I shouldn't be in a position that we're doing the will of God and we're trying to figure out how to make things work. We're not supposed to be in that position. It's not supposed to go like that. God's not trying to take a thing from you. If anybody's going to walk in love, it's going to be Him. And I'll tell you what, He has done so many things beyond my faith for me. It just blows my little mind sometimes. Say, I don't know if I'd have done that for me. In spite of the stupid I've done, He has still had mercy. He is still incredible. And that's the way He operates. He's not a taker. He's a giver. Now people say, you know, about, I'm just giving all the time. I'll tell you, God is the giver. And you will never have really any strong faith till you see Him, what a giver He is, and understand that He's never holding back from you. When you get that, it's the devil working in you. Well, you know, yeah, God won't heal you because, you know, you messed up. Well, if that there's true, all you got to do is repent. God has made a way for us to be blessed. God has said, if we've missed it in things, there's times I've missed it in the areas. Sometimes I've missed it in the area of finances over the year, especially I was starting out. You know, God was, you know, encouraging me to give something and I didn't do it right, or didn't give as much as I should. I knew I should have in the inside and those things. And in spite of it, He blessed me and taught me as we went along. But I'll tell you one thing, He nicely turned me into a giver where I love to give. Where I love to do it. To me, it's just wonderful to do. It's wonderful to be able to give. Giving. When they talk about giving and sacrifice, I hate to hear it. I hate to hear it. Sacrifice in the Bible was not giving something you didn't want to give. Sacrifice. See, we have the types and shadows of sacrifice in the Old Testament. You know, the Bible tells us Jesus went to the cross with joy. It wasn't something He didn't want to give. Sacrifice is what God requires. This is why you want to learn by the Spirit. God will tell you what He's requiring you to do. It's not to give something you didn't want to give. That's not what sacrifice is. Sacrifice in the Bible, when they said you did a certain thing, you had to offer a sheep. That was just what was required to do what God wanted. That wasn't like, oh man, yeah, God's asking for a sheep and I don't want to give one. That wasn't what it was. The people knew when they came in what they had to do. They knew what was required of them. It wasn't this thing, you need to give till it hurts. You know, you're like out there, you know, and you know, a minister standing there, you need to give till it hurts. You know, and he's living in a, you know, $5 million home and he's doing all this kind of stuff. Okay, you start and I will. You give your house today, I'll give mine. Well, he ain't doing that. We don't do that to people. You preach the Word and you teach the people what the Word said. Because you don't want the motive that they're giving out of being, I got to do this or God ain't going to bless me. You want them to be doing it out of love. You want to give out of love, of the joy of giving. That's what Paul said. Paul made mention. He said, you know, you're going to get back to the level you give. But he said, God loves a cheerful giver. To feel grudgingly to give, and this is what they tell you. This sacrificial giving, they tell you, it's about the grudgingly giving. It's ungodly, and the people who teach it are teaching ungodliness. It's not what it's about. You know, it's like taking a person who is not on a level to believe for divine healing and then force them into it. When they do need to go to a doctor, and forcing them into divine healing, and then they die because their faith can't reach the level to get it. Ain't no different. We don't force people into things. Now, I can teach you and tell you how things work, but you got to develop your faith to walk in it. You don't go around and do things just other people do. We teach what we do so people can learn from it where you can go to. You always want to be taught on a higher level than you are. You know why most churches fail? Because the pastor may not even be as high level as some of the people in the church. And all he teaches on a low level all the time. You've got to teach on a higher level than people are for them to go up. So I'll talk about things more. But you know what? You got to develop yourself. That's why I tell you, you listen in your spirit. You got the great teacher in you. He knows how far he can go. See, the scripture tells us that God wouldn't lead us into temptation more than we can bear. See, God's always going to lead you to places through victory. He's not going to put you out there to crash. The devil will put you out there to crash. They ask you to step into more than your faith can handle. Why? He wants you to crash. You're going to know this about your Christian life. God will lead you to build your faith in steps. He won't take you from way down here and put you up there on faith. He won't do that to you. He'll start you off in steps. Why? He proves himself. Just like God must prove he's faithful to you, just as we must trust him, his faithfulness. See, the Bible tells us we got to be faithful. But understand, God wants to prove his faithfulness to you. See, what did God do with me? He said, you believe $5,000, when that comes in, double it. He bought the five in. Then it's double it. And so that we believe for it, double. He bought the money in. See, he's proving himself the whole time. He didn't start me off at a million. Why? Because that's the way God operates. God don't take you up the steps 10 steps at a time. The devil will. He'll destroy your faith. He'll get you over and think, man, I just can't make this work. He starts. You folks have heard me how many times? Juan did I start off believing God for money? The first thing we ever believed for money was $20. And I'm going to tell you what, it might as well have been a million to me for faith. By my words, $20. Oh, we're going to believe God. You know, we're going to believe for money we can't see and not a way. We weren't going to do something to bring it in. We were just going to trust God. He was going to give us a $20 bill. And you know, we realized how much unbelief we were in that. When that $20 went in, my God, you'd have thought we got a million. We got so excited about that $20 came to us without doing something. But you know what? When that thing worked, man, there was a light went on inside of it. See, God proved his faithfulness. You can't take the next step. Where this is all about is we being faithful for God. He don't have to prove nothing. Well, he'd be a lousy teacher, wouldn't he? If he won't take care of you and prove out on the little things, what's the point of going to the big stuff? It doesn't matter. But he constantly does. He'll prove it out to you in the area you're in. That's why you never have to be afraid. You never have to be afraid of worry. Let God. See, this is where most people mess up. They don't learn in the little things, and then the big things come along in life and they try to go to faith. Don't worry. You know, you never believe God for a headache. You better pray cancer never comes. Because you ain't going, you're going, you know, they're going to put you in a box unless the doctors can fix it for you. I'm just, it's not being mean. It's just the way it is. You have to understand that. What do? You start building on little things. You started off on little things. Juan and I, we started off practicing little things in the Word. We found out over time of practicing little things in the Word. It moved us up and moved us up till when it came to things, we could believe God for things would come along. We can believe God for this. But we didn't start off there. Let me tell you, we didn't start off there. I didn't start off the place that I'm at today. I didn't start there. And so with you, and God, I'm going to tell you, He's gracious. He's a teacher. He's not forcing you. God won't make you go beyond what you want to go. He won't force you beyond what you want to go. The devil will come along and force you. People say, God allowed this because, no, God didn't allow it. The circumstances that we set in motion by not dealing with things and developing. We have this terrible, terrible thing about ourselves is not to do preparing ourselves beforehand. We wait till the problem comes and then we want to prepare. I thank God I learned ahead of time. I learned ahead of time on things as how you had to prepare ahead. And that's what faith was about, preparing ahead, getting ready ahead. And learn to do that. You know, you guys heard me say this, and I just, you know, I commend you to do it. Always have things that, I don't care if you have money in your pocket to buy, that you refuse to buy, that you believe God for, to come in. You need to do that. See, this is, well, God will want you to spend the money you have. If you have the money, He gave it to you to spend. Well, you're going to have to give me chapter and verse for that one. I never see it anywhere. It's one of the things I've learned in my faith walk is it's just like the Lord said to me concerning the church. He said, you never have take an income from the church that you're satisfied with. He said, you always believing for more than they can give you. See, you got to keep your faith active all the time. I see people do this on their jobs. They learn to live by their income. I've never learned to live by my income that I was given by man. I've never learned to live by it. I don't live by that. I don't mean I go out and write out checks with no money in the bank. I don't do that. But I've learned, I'm always believing for more than comes into me. And you know what? Now you can ask the board of this church. I turned down raises. I turned them down. And not bad. I mean, the board's very nice. The board's very good. I never ask the board anything about money, the money they get. I let them decide what they want to do. I never go over and say anything about what comes to me. I don't ever say a thing. You can ask them. Ask them about the board members. I don't. But you know, they say, you know, they want to give me a raise. I get raises every year. I've got nothing but raises ever since, you know, but I don't do it from the standpoint. I appreciate their goodness. But on the other hand, I need to keep my faith out. And see, I do this because God told me to do that. And I appreciate their desire, but I realize it's good they want to do that. That's nice. And that is good. But I have to know my limits. You know, this is one of the things. You got to get over things where your faith is beyond where you're at. Don't ever say I'm a fixed income, because now don't you try to believe God for any money when you're confessing fixed income. You're stuck. You did that. I don't have a fixed income. My income can only go up. That's all it can do is go up. That's it. Can't go any other way. Can only go up. I get raises every year. But I have to do with that. It's what I'm believing for. My giving, my believing, what I do is brings it in. But see, you do that. I don't get fixed. I've learned not to get fixed on what people, you know, like you naturally get as a salary. Thank God people want to give you a good salary. That is wonderful. That is really good. And that, you know, that's good. It's good for the church. It's good for, but I have to make sure that I'm doing my part to maintain my faith. You don't need a faithless preacher. If you realize how many faithless preachers are out here, that their incomes by the church is what they run on. And their churches give them a lot of money, and they make big churches, and they make a lot of money, and they don't know how to believe for a nickel anymore. Many of them started out, knew how to believe God, and they were trusting God, but now they're trusting income. You don't want to go there. You always want, see, the Lord taught me, you always want to have your faith. There's things that I want that I'll just believe God for. I don't care if I have the money in the bank to buy it, I ain't buying it. I'm going to believe God because I want to make sure my faith keeps working on things. See, you let your faith go idle, don't worry. When you really need it, it'll be idle. When you really need it, keep your faith out there on things. I'm going to just put your faith on something. And just, you know, believe God, you know, things that come along for you or whatever. And then, because, why does God do it that way? Because God wants to bless you. God wants to do something wonderful for you. He wants you to know there's a God in your life. See, when we sit down, like, what happens today? Our economy goes in our country. And what happens to people? I'm sorry, my economy didn't go. It wasn't based on America. It wasn't based on that to begin with. See, when those things happen, you know, people say, oh, my words, the stock market dropped and my 401k, it dropped down and that's, That was the big barn I was building so I could retire. It wasn't going to use my faith. And I was going to retire and be real nice and happy and not have to believe God. Oh, yeah. You know, how Christians got tons and tons of money God can't touch. Nope, that's my retirement. Yet that retirement grows. No, we ain't allowed to take anything out of there. No, we got to stay there. See, we need to understand why some things are happening. Oh, yeah. God ain't against you saving and having. He don't care. But we got huge amounts of money. They're sitting, Christians have huge amounts of money, and they're sitting in the untouchable place. God can't touch it. God can't have it. It's my retirement. What happens if God asks you for it? How many spirits are listening to that one? Okay, I got meddling. Well, we're talking about the place of faith. See, you know what though? No, here's the whole thing. You got to get over the place that don't bother you, what happens there or not, that you can trust God for your future. Can you trust God for your future? Can you? Christians are sitting around and doing all this kind of stuff, talking about Jesus coming and putting things together like he ain't ever coming. Out of their mouth, one side, one thing. Out of their doing, another side. Worthless faith. Worthless talk. Jesus is coming back because the Bible says so. I don't have a date and a time. If you'd asked me some years ago, I'd have thought we'd already been gone. But today, there's things now, a revelation he's given. I can see a lot of things a lot clearer of what's going on. Jesus is weeding things out. He's pulling some weeds in us. Some of them are pretty deep roots. It don't come out easy. It's ouch. That one there was a pretty deep when you're doing. Why? It's the whole point of a glorious church. Why is God doing it? Is he mad at us? No. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. Do you know Jesus is working on right now? He wants you to be ready to meet him. Many Christians are going to meet Jesus and will not be ready. Jesus told Kenneth Hedy, many of my people will not be ready to meet me at my coming. He said, many. The ministry of Kenneth E. Hagin, Jesus said, was to get the church ready to meet him. And the church has failed 100% on that. Most Christians think because they got born again, I am ready, and they don't realize how faithless they are. They don't even know where their own faith's at. This is supposed to be a glorious church. When we meet him, he'll have so much reward for you, it'll just knock the socks off of everybody to watch you get the reward. He wants to bless people. That's what he wants to do. But he told us in Scripture, there's ones that are going to come before him. What they did is going to be hay and stubble and is going to be burnt up and they will be saved as by fire. They're going to step in the door of heaven and Jesus ain't going to reward them for a thing. They have done nothing to get reward. You think I'd make him happy? He'll be so disappointed. God's a giver. If anything he loves to do is give. He loves it. He loves to give. He has planned so much for us in the future, and he would just love to be able to give everybody all that he has planned to give them. He would just love to do it. He's not doing any of this to be mean to anybody, but there's requirements to receiving reward. Salvation was free, but it's going to cost your life to have the benefit of it. It's going to cost you your life. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We went for a long time with the Holy Ghost. See, we're preparing here. That's what we're doing. We're getting ready here. See, I want to be ready. I want to be in line. I want to be that God can use me. I don't want to be a minister that has my hands in people's pockets. That's seeing what I can get out of you. I don't want to be a person like that. I don't want to do that thing. It's number one. God, you're God's child. You need to learn to hear from God yourself. You need to learn that. You know, as a minister, I can turn around and teach the word and I can do things. But you determine how far you go. I never determined that. I've watched people. You know, it's just like the first time I met Darlene was in that church, that Methodist church. Now, Darlene was in a church. Well, she didn't have a pastor that was, my word, they had a lot more in the ball than the pastor did. But they're sitting, but see, there's a group of them there deciding they wanted something, and they went after it, and God gives it to them. Their pastor, he was dead. That man was dead spiritually. He didn't know much at all spiritually about things at all. And he was just a religious guy. And he wasn't a bad man or anything, but he's just a religious man. And he didn't know about anything. But see, they're sitting in a church. Now they could have sat there and they blamed the pastor. They didn't know nothing, but they're growing. They were growing, knowing, you know, finding things out about God. They're after something. But they're sitting in a church. See, most people today, you know, most people treat the church like it's at a restaurant. I go in, I picked off the menu what I want. And then they were supposed to bring that to me and I eat. I don't do nothing here. And I put some money in a plate. I paid for it. I'm going home. Okay, get my meal ready for next week. Oh, yeah. Just like that. Well, what if I did that? You wouldn't get nothing. That's right. You would get a thing. But it ain't the way it works. The way it works, I got to go after just like you have to go after. Each of us are responsible. There wouldn't be individual people getting individually judged going before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, it would just be all ministers would go in front and then we would be judged and the rest of you guys get a free pass in. It ain't happening. We are as individuals. I can't stand before Jesus and say, well, you know, I just didn't have enough teachers around me. Well, I go find, you know, it's with me. I do. I find whoever's, I look for somebody. You know, I asked the Lord when I was with the ministerial group. And the, you know what? When they started off, they were walking right, but they got over in this seeker-friendly junk. And all they were doing was just candy. Every time you went there, had nothing spiritual ever happened was any good. The Lord said this to me, you keep hanging around with them, you're not going to end up where you want to be. So I knew, well, I got to change. But I said, the Lord, you know, I turned around. I didn't pick what I wanted. I said, Lord, I need a leader. What do you want me as a leader wise? Well, you know, to me, I would thought, you know, God would give you one quick. He didn't. It was over a year's period. But, you know, I had to listen to my spirit to end up where I was at. But I had a supernatural encounter. I went to out to a winter Bible seminar at out at Rhema, and they had their winter Bible seminar. It was in February. And I went there, and Randall Greer, which I didn't know Randall Greer at that time, other than I'd heard him preach a couple times. You know, I'd heard him preach a couple times, but I didn't know him. And he didn't know me from nobody. But, you know, it's just one of the oddest things that ever happened. I'm not paying attention to him, and it was before the service started, and I had a seat there, and I had a seat, it was like an aisle, and there was a row, and they had an aisle through it, and then another group of seats, and I'm out on the end, and I'm standing there, and Randall Greer walks up to me and starts talking like to me like we're old friends and we know each other. And I'm thinking the whole time, what on earth is this? And I'm thinking, he don't even know who I am. And he's just talking to me, and he's telling me about, this is interesting. You would start a conversation with people like this, but he come up talking to me about how churches are canceling him and this seeker-friendly junk's going on and all. And I'm thinking, man, I'm going through this. I'm going through this thing asking God, I need a leader. And I'm saying, oh, God, give me a leader. I need somebody that... And he's there, you know, boy, the church is really getting off base. And so then he's there talking to me, and another friend evangelist he knows real well walks up, and he goes to him, come here. And then he was telling me all this. So there I'm standing, dear Lord, these two guys are talking to me about how messed up things, because see, I'm going through this, and I'm wondering, is anybody else going through what I'm going on? You know, these guys, and I want a leader. So it just made me marvel. He walked off and left, and a guy left, and I'm standing there like, oh man, what just happened with this? These two guys, they come up and tell me all this stuff. And so I'm standing there, and like, how would they know that I wasn't? See, there people, this one thing, you get unconsciously led by the Spirit. You know, God's arranging things. See, God arranges stuff. Just like, there, I'm asking God to give me a leader. He's working this whole thing out, and I'm there thinking, boy, this whole thing's strange. So I go home from Winter Bible Seminar, and the Lord says to me, you need to go to Randall Greer's meetings. Well, I said, the Lord, well, where on earth does he minister? I didn't even know his ministry name or nothing. I just knew Randall Greer was his name. It doesn't necessarily mean his ministry has that name in it. I said, where was this? And the Lord said, you need to go to his meetings. And so I went and looked up, found out where he was at. And I found out he was having some meetings at a place, but Gatlinburg was in August, 2009, August. And the Lord said, go to those meetings. Go down there. So I'd never been to him, never went down there. Sat down, first meeting, sat down. It was a morning meeting, sat down, listened to the meeting. And he was talking stuff. It was right down my alley. I was just like, wow. And then the Lord spoke to me. Now, see, I had spent a year, and I was asking the Lord. And the Lord said to me, he said, you ask for a leader, and I'll give you one. Well, see, now you got to follow that. Mm-hmm. Now, this isn't the convenient leader, because, see, it was convenient. The minister's fellowship I belonged to was right close by. Now I got to travel. So now I got to start spending money to get to these meetings. See, God will always have you move by faith. Mm-hmm. This is what everybody's looking for convenient. They're Americans. I'm going to tell you, start living like Christians. Quit being Americans. What a blessed life you can live. Quit being Americans. Because Americans always want convenience. And this is what God has always led me to, my fleshly inconvenience. Now you got to travel. You got to go further. You got to do things. You got to do it. But you know what? I know this without a doubt. God is in it. And what it has done for me, I will spend whatever it takes. I will do whatever it takes to have it. I'm sorry. You can't keep going to your easy cookie jar. You can't keep doing that. You're going to have to step out beyond where you're at, what is convenient. Because if you don't, many people don't get healed because of that. They want everything in convenience and they won't go and listen. You know, God said to the guy, go down to the pool of Siloam and wash your eyes. He spit in the guy's eye. This is really cool. Isn't it? Put mud in the guy's eye. Go wash it. Why didn't he just do it there? Why didn't he just heal it? Why did he make a blind guy have to go off somewhere? Why did he do that? Because God wants you to walk by faith. God wants you to get out of the convenience of flesh. How bad do you want him? How bad do you want what you say you want? How bad? You have to decide those things. See, people are asking for many things, but they don't want to go as far as it takes. And don't, because this, somehow they think there's going to be a loss. I have never lost from any of that. I've had nothing but gain. Nothing but gain. God told Randall Greer to stay close to Brother Hagin. Now, this is a traveling minister. Brother Hagin, wherever he'd go to speak, no matter what it was, he would go there. I mean, he was traveling all. He was going up to Canada, going down, you know, and all over here. Nice, going around when Brother Hagin would go to speak, the Lord told him to. Told him to do that. Believe me, I know. You spend a lot of money doing that. You spend a lot of money. You go to those places. You don't just spend money to get there. You give offerings. You don't be a cheapskate. You don't nickel and dime any offerings. I've given thousands and 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 thousands in those offerings. It's why? Because it's worth every bit of it. The anointing of God is worth billions. You want the anointing, you don't nickel and dime it. I'm going to tell you what. It's worth every penny. It's worth every penny. And Randall Greer, you need to understand, he's a traveling minister. He don't have this steady, his income comes from going to meetings, and he's going to all these other meetings all the time. But he tells how God supplied him, and how God would do, and the things that, and it's just, see, God was proving himself to him all the time when he stepped out there, and when he got out of the inconvenience area and started trusting God, how God started bringing all these things to pass. And God just built his faith and built his faith and built his faith and built his faith to just keep going out beyond. And see, that's what God's doing in me. You've got to get yourself out there where you're willing to step out into something beyond. Quit looking for convenience. Look for the, want something. Do you desire the anointing? I want the anointing. I want the anointing of God on my life. Whatever it takes to get it, I want it. I want it, you know. My flesh will get over there and think, oh man, I got to go here and it takes all this time and a week and I got all this stuff to do here. There's nobody to do my job and do the things that need to be done in the office when I'm going. So when I go away, even on vacation, I have to do all the work that I have. Now, there's nobody around to do it. It all has to be, it's got to be done. So, but you know what? I ain't complaining about it. I don't care. There's one thing as I get is the anointing. I just feel so bad the people don't have one. Hallelujah! Glory to God, Father. Father, I thank you that you're taking us somewhere we haven't walked before. Because Lord God, you're the one that opens the doors. And Lord God, you're opening doors to us of things and places that we haven't walked or known. Because Lord God, there are these places that we have to walk in that I can see. I can see it. That we need to walk in because in these last days, oh, and these places that we will walk, Lord God, they must be going into because the fulfillment of the time needs this move of God that cannot be done by just the things that came before. Lord God, Lord, I think about what your prophet Kenneth Hagin said about things that this generation would lose if they weren't taught. And Lord God, Lord, I ask you, Lord God, to reveal things to us so we can teach and instruct and walk in these things. Because, Lord, we can't let these things go by. We can't let them pass. Because, Lord God, in our own hearts, Lord God, we'll be grieved. We'll be grieved knowing that we're not touching in, going as far as we can go. And as, oh, our heart craves. Our heart craves. Lord God, there's things that have been in us. And I know one's here. Things have been in us from the time as young Christians and desires and things. And Lord God, they were things of the future to come. And yet we haven't walked in them yet to this time. But Lord God, our hearts still cry out to go to that place and to walk in that thing. And Lord God, it is your desire to take us there. You haven't quit. And Father God, I want to thank you. Lord, there is glory to be had and walked in this age and time. And Father, you have been kindly setting us in place. You have been kindly teaching us and instructing us and being so patient. Oh, you have been so patient. Lord God, with us. And I just thank you, Lord, concerning myself. Lord, I walk along and I think sometimes, oh, how I delayed my own progress. Lord God, and a little thing here and a little thing there that I thought was, but it wasn't a little thing. But Lord God, in your kindness, you keep motioning me forward. You just keep motioning me ahead. You've been nice to teach and instruct. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, I believe among this people here, there's a great need of raising up of people, Lord God. Lord, that are so just confident in you. Lord God, and I believe you're doing it in them. I believe, Lord God, I believe their eyes are seeing things, and I'm not talking about their physical eyes. And Lord God, their ears are hearing things, and because you're speaking them to them. And Lord God, their hearts are reaching out. Their hearts are reaching out. I believe there's a hunger. There's a hunger. The Lord God has not nearly been satisfied of what they desire and what they want. Lord God, there's things about you. Oh, things about you. Lord God, within them. Within them, Lord God, there's questions about the operations of your kingdom, Lord God. Lord, that they know that they've glimpsed into some things. They've seen some things. A little light has fallen. But Lord God, a door must be opened in that place. And I thank you, Lord God, that we're stepping into that right now, that those doors are going to be open. Lord God, and light is going to begin to shine. Light will begin to shine. Lord, I want to thank you. Lord, that weightiness and heaviness that has been on the church, Lord God, for some times, and not just here with our church, but it's been upon Christians. Lord God, a weightiness and a heaviness, Lord God, and it hasn't been by your Spirit. It's been a holding back by demonic powers. But Lord God, just as the children of Israel had to go out into the wilderness, Lord God, I thank you that we're coming out of the wilderness now. We're stepping out of that place. And Lord God, it's the day of crossing the river. It's the day of crossing the river, Lord God. And the walls of Jericho are ahead. But we're not walking toward Jericho as if it's a giant, because we are the giants crossing the river. We are the giants crossing crossing the river. We are the giants crossing the river, and the walls will come down. Yes, the walls will come down because we will obey what God told us to do. We will obey His Word, and we will walk in it. And the heaviness will no longer stay. The heaviness must go because across the river, the great washing that we're going to, the baptism of the glory of God, and passing through, that's us. Hallelujah. Standing before Jericho. Oh, yes, our mouths are silent because we're not the ones that will bring down the wall, because our God will bring down the wall in the name of Jesus. It will not stand. The land is ours. We take it in the name of Jesus. We do not have to fear. Hallelujah. Lord, You said that You would go before us. You said You would send the hornets. They would drive them out. Lord, You said all those things that You would do. Lord God, You have gone before us. You have set things. Lord God, we're not going to try to make these things happen. You've already set them in motion to happen for the victory of the church, and there will be a great victory. And Lord God, I thank You in this day and time. The ministry, the preaching of the gospel will go forth like never before on the face of this earth. I thank You. Men and women will be anointed to speak the word of God that will go forth with great power in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank You, the manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Ghost will follow the words that are preached. Hallelujah. Demonstrations of glory and power. Hallelujah. The healing power of God like men have never seen before on the face of the earth. Demonstrations of the Spirit of God that the Acts of the Apostles will see like a little thing to this day and time across the earth of the pouring out of the glory of God. For the Father has been waiting for the fruit of the earth, and there will be a great harvest in this time. And we're called to that harvest. Hallelujah. And we're crossing over to the land. Hallelujah. The enemy is defeated before You. He cannot hold you back. He cannot stop you. For He has been defeated by the Lord of hosts. Jesus is His name. And He has defeated the enemy on every hand. And you shall walk in the victory that He has called you to. And you will go forth with boldness and with power in the name of Jesus Christ. For timidity has left the church. And now the glory has risen, and the anointing and boldness of God will be upon His people, and they shall go forth proclaiming His word. Hallelujah. Yes, and God will be glorified and magnified. Jesus Christ and His name will be held up high in these days. And He again will stand at the forefront of the church of Jesus Christ. And His name will be spoken and breathed upon many. Hallelujah. That they will go forth in power and in glory. And we thank You for it, Father. Thank You for all that You're going to accomplish and do in us and through us. And Lord God, I want to thank You for this. It's here. Hallelujah. Now is the time and the hour, and we're entering in. And we're walking in this glory. Hallelujah. Because the door has been opened before us. Yes, yes. And the Spirit of the Lord says this. The Spirit of the Lord says the door has been opened before you. I have opened the door, and no man will shut it. For I have set myself in this day and hour, says the Lord, and I have set my plan forward, and I will not allow man to hinder me, for they have stood before me, and they have hindered me in the past, and they have stopped me, and I have given them time to repent, and I have waited, but they have not. And I am going forth in this hour, and I will demonstrate my glory and show myself, and what I have revealed and said in my word that I will do, you will see all before your eye in this day and time, for I have declared it, says the Lord, I will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Yes. Thank You. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise You, Lord God. Praise You, Lord God. Hallelujah. Bebregedishne, vefredegede, mamrote peferikika, zon se ne no kutishi, beberote feraguba, ne neke eto shishibi la brute, venvremrendegedege shishishkika kosa, geishkunate, bombrendo gudushu. For many have been hindered in the past, and have walked and have walked and have walked, and it seems like you've come up to a certain place and you could never go beyond. It seemed that you came up to a wall, yes? And you would come there, and it almost seemed like when you got to that wall, you would end up back from where you were. And then you would come up again in the Spirit, and you'd come up to that place again, and this place, but you were hindered, as if there was a wall. There was something that stopped you there. And the Lord says this, that time has ended. For I am moving in this hour, and my people will no longer be hindered by the things that have hindered them before, because they will come up to those places again, and those walls will not be there, and they will walk through, says the Lord, to that place, yes, that you've desired to stand in and walked in, and it seemed like you couldn't quite reach it, and you would go back, and it seemed you'd end up dominated in the same thing that seemed that you were, just seemed to getting free from, but now that cycle will stop in the name of Jesus. And you will come forward and walk forward in my name in this hour. For my hand will be upon you. My hand will be upon you in this hour. And I will do what men cannot do, says the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray right now, Lord God. Lord, we're in this season and dealing in this time, Lord God, with the President of the United States, the presidential elections. They're up here. And Lord God, we're the Church of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we've been given a place of authority in this day and hour. And Lord God, Lord, we don't need great crowds. What we need is people to stand in their authority. And here we are today standing in our place of authority in Christ Jesus. And Lord God, Lord, we speak some things. First of all, Lord God, Lord, we command the devil in the name of Jesus to get his hand off our presidential election in the name of Jesus. Devil, I command you to cease and desist right now in Jesus' name. Get your hands off of our election. Get your hands off the social system of our country. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command you to cease and desist in Jesus' name. We command you in the name of Jesus to get your hands off our financial system. We command you in Jesus' name to cease and desist in your actions in the name of Jesus. And we lift up the President of the United States in the name of Jesus. Father, I am so thankful for the President that you have given us. And Lord God, you know in my heart, Lord God, my desire, my great desire to see him as president again, because Lord God, we desperately need him. Lord, as you gave us this man, and Lord God, I'm so thankful because he's not a politician. Lord God, he has not fitted into the puzzle that we have of our country. And Lord God, Lord, it has angered so many people because he's a piece that don't fit. But Lord God, he has done so much, Lord God, for things in this nation, Lord God, that changed things spiritually. Lord God, there's no president that, Lord God, is in my memory from the 1950s, Lord, from Dwight D. Eisenhower, that has been able to do for this nation and change things. And Lord God, you were kindly set him in. And I know, Lord God, people speak against him, and Lord God, people don't like his roughness and his tweets and all that stuff. But Father God, they're all the people that are just looking in the flesh. All they see is the natural. But Lord God, we got more sense here. We have more sense here, Lord God. And Lord God, Lord, forgive us in America for being so stupid. Lord God, I'm not asking you for this president because we have any right to ask, as nationally we don't. But Lord God, I call on your great mercy and love. Hallelujah. Lord God, and your love for people. Lord, there's so many people would go off to hell in this nation. Lord God, if it continues in a direction that some of these people want it to go. But Lord God, Lord, we're not socialists here. We're believers in Jesus Christ. That's what we are. We're trusting in the Lord for our life. Hallelujah. We're not going to trust in men. And Lord God, we're not trusting in the president. But Lord God, we thank you for a man that has followed more of the path of righteousness than ones before him. that has done more things right for our land. And I want to thank you, Lord God. I pray for him today that you are going to uphold him. Lord, he is a man who is not quit on us. And we will not quit for him in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we will honor him because you have honored him and put your hand upon him. And Lord God, we know that he hasn't done what he's done because of he's a great man. Lord God, you have made him what he is. And I thank you for setting him in this office. And Lord God, we are not asking him because it'd be nice to have him. Lord God, we need that man. We need that man. Lord God, and what we need, you need. Lord God, what we need, you need. And we need him standing in this office. He has upheld the church of Jesus Christ. He has upheld it in this day and hour. Lord God, he has turned things around, the Lord God, that were against the church, that now, Lord God, the church can move freely. And we thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, for the justices he's been able to set in place. Thank you, Lord God, in spite of all that's going on. Hallelujah. Lord God, you helped us in this thing. Lord God, putting the right people in place, Lord God, from keeping this land from going down the tubes. And we thank you, Father God, Lord God, and we realize we didn't get them because we deserved it. We didn't as a nation, but yet, hallelujah, people have stood in your face. Your people, Lord God, have called out to you, and you've heard us. You've heard us, and you're the God that hears your people. You're the God that hears your people, and you're listening to us today, Lord God. Lord, I just want to thank you. Lord God, I thank you for a presidential election that belongs to the church. Hallelujah. That belongs to the church. And Lord God, it's going to belong to many, Lord God, that haven't even been asked for it, but they're going to find out how glorious it is. They're going to find out how wonderful it is. They're going to find, Lord God, Lord, you have set things forth, and men, Lord God, have tried to do what they wanted to do. But Lord God, we know you. You have the last say in this thing. You're the one with the last say. We're facing you. We're not looking at men and what they say. We're looking at you. You got the last say, Lord God. Hallelujah. You're the God of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. And we thank you. And Lord God, I thank you for bringing to pass what men go around and say couldn't happen. Lord, they said he couldn't get in the first time. Lord God, they made fun that he even ran. And Lord God, they ain't making many of them fun anymore. They're wailing and crying. They're wailing and crying, Lord God. And oh, how they shall wail and cry. How they shall wail and cry. Because it's not done yet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, if anything of these years to come, the 4 years to come, the most thing, Lord God, our desire for a presidency cannot be our number one thing. Lord God, our desire to follow you, to follow you. Hallelujah. Lord God, what would it be good to have a man that you would sit in office that you would want and then have a people that don't act right or do right? But Lord God, you're going to have a people. You're going to have a people that are going to be after your heart. You're going to have a people that are going to follow after. You're going to have a people that are going to stand and take their authority concerning the presidency. They're going to take their authority concerning the nation. They're going to take their authority concerning Congress. They're going to take their authority and stand in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, many things are going to get turned around. Many things are going to be turned around. Lord God, have headed in a direction, but they will not go in those directions anymore. Lord God, much will be changed. Much will be changed because the glory of God will be revealed and shown. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, I just thank you for giving us a place. Lord God, if our place is just to pray for this nation in these last days, Lord God, I accept it. Lord God, Lord, I don't ask to be in the forefront of anything. But Lord God, Lord, if that's what it takes, or Lord God is the best, I'll take whatever position you give me. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, I consider it a great honor to uphold this nation, Lord God, in prayer and using the authority that you've given us in the name of Jesus. Lord God, Lord, it's a great and honorable place to be. So we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We're not doing this for us. We're doing this for you, that your glory and that your Son, Jesus Christ, will shine in great glory over this nation again. Hallelujah. Lord God, that we'll be the shining light, that again the gospel will go out in droves from this nation to the world once more. Hallelujah. Lord, we have seen days of great glory of going, but Lord God, much has been diminished, but not anymore. I thank you, Lord God, this nation will rise back to its place again. Hallelujah. Where the gospel bell will ring and ring and ring from this land. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we go, let me just say this to you. It was the last night we were down there in the meeting. Is the whole emphasis of the last meeting was that that the Lord spoke through Randy Greer, told us, God desires that we pray very much in other tongues. He said, pray much in other tongues. And we need to understand. See, this is more, tongues lots of times is hard for people to spend much time in, is because we're too intellectual. We're always trying to figure out what's going on. You don't need to figure out what's going on. See, this is what faith. Faith is about doing something that, in the unseen realm. And we need to understand this. There is much, and it isn't because we're missing anything, but there's so many things that are going on out here that we don't know. We don't know why people are motivated to do what they do. We don't know reasons why people are... There's hidden things from us of why things going on. We don't even know about it to pray about it. And when you pray over in other tongues, your Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, we're speaking not unto men, but unto God. It says we're speaking mysteries. Speaking mysteries. You know, when I spoke before about the lady who got caught up to heaven, one of the things she found out that she was in heaven. And it's really, I mean, a witness to me. When I read this, it really got me, because she said there was two angels, excuse me, that were around a lot when she was showing her around and showing her things. And they would talk every once in a while in languages she couldn't understand. So she had the idea that they were trying to hide something from her. So she asked them, she said, you guys saying things you don't want me to know? And they said, no. They said, there's things that can't be said in earthly languages. He said, you can only say them in heavenly languages. You can't say them in earthly languages. You see, from tongue standpoint, the tongues, we're speaking heavenly languages, not earthly languages. We're saying things which cannot be spoken in any other way. We don't have a means to do it here. You can't go study the language. But you can speak them. You can speak in tongues. Now, sometimes in speaking in tongues, God gives me interpretation on things. But many times I pray in tongues. When I was praying in tongues here last year in the beginning of the year, and I just pray for 6-8 hours a day, 99% of the time I had no idea what I was praying. But I just pray in tongues and praying in tongues and praying in tongues and praying in tongues. But you know, that whole time God was hearing. And God said I was going to have everything that I was praying. So that means there's things I don't even know what I was praying about, but I'm going to have. It's going to be good, whatever it is. Hallelujah. He said I'd have. Hallelujah. But you pray over there. But we can change things. There's things that are mysteries. And understand this about praying in tongues. Many times when we pray in tongues, there's a great benefit from this. The devil is not all-knowing or all-seeing. The devil's not God. He's an angel. He was an angel, a fallen angel. He doesn't know everything that you think. Lots of times of the devil, he only knows what he hears you talk. Sometimes, I'm just going to tell you this, God will have us pray in tongues so we're not telling the devil what's going on, because he don't know what's going on. See, sometimes we've talked too much and we've opened the door of the devil, but things that we've said, and he would have never known to open the door, that door was going to be open without us saying it. Do you realize that that's what happened to Job? He didn't know that the hedge had dropped around him. The devil didn't know Job was out in the open for attack. God told him. He said, well, you just keep protecting that guy. He didn't even know. See, devil don't know everything. We jack him way up there. He ain't like people think. He's not. See, controlling what we say and things, you know, and people say, I want to give you a piece of my mind. Keep all you can get. You ain't got much anyhow, so don't try to give it away. But people do that. People say things and they don't realize they say things. And spirits would not even know that if it wasn't spoken. He can't read your mind. He don't know everything you're thinking. But see, people think he does. People think they do, but he's an angel. He ain't God. Hallelujah. And God got wisdom. But he said, pray much in other tongues. Spend much time praying in other tongues. Now, he told us during this time, especially going up these days of election, I want to spend much time praying in other tongues. Praying in other tongues. Say, what are you doing? I'm speaking mysteries to God, and if he wanted to tell me, he'll tell me. In other words, I just do my part and shut up. You know, I don't have to know in my mind what's going on. The Bible said I'm speaking mysteries of God. That's all God got to tell me. That's all I need to know. Hallelujah. And if there's anything he wants to reveal to me, he may. It's fine. But if he decides he don't want to reveal anything to me, that's fine too. Hallelujah. I just know this. If I pray in tongues, I edify myself. It's building me up. And let me say this. Most of the manifestations of the powers of the gifts of the Spirit go into demonstration because people spend time praying in tongues. Oh yeah. That's why the lack, that's why lots of people have, we have lack of demonstrations of the gifts of the Spirit. People don't pray in tongues. See, people want just wanting and believing God for manifestations enough. You got to do other things too. You have your part. God has his part. But praying in tongues will open the door up for you to be sensitive, to be able to operate in them. When you get over and do something that is not mentally operated. See, most people's prayer is all mental. Now, you can pray in the Holy Ghost with the anointing on you, and you can pray in English. I'll get praying up here, and the anointing comes on me to pray. And I'll pray by an anointing. Things, in fact, words of knowledge come to me. I pray and words of knowledge come to me about what to pray. Sometimes I can see what I'm supposed to pray ahead of what I'm praying. I can see it, what I'm supposed to pray. Now, this isn't all the time. Sometimes you pray and just your mouth gets dry. You're just praying what you know. And praying in tongues. Get out there praying. Sometimes you can pray in tongues just as dry as it can be. You get out there and... you're praying in tongues. But the Bible says this. You're being edified. It's building you up in your most holy faith. And you know what? I just do this. Sometimes I'll stop praying because it gets over. It gets right. I say, thank God I'm building. My faith's getting stronger. I'm getting stronger on the inside. You can voice them things. You say them things to yourself. Because if you get over and let your mind go, you'll stop and go to the coffee pot. You'll quit praying. Amen? Amen? God bless you. And actually, have a glorious week.